1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, check.
Delilah.
The mic levels are going to be fine. I'm talking
about
the
someone
headphones. Headphone levels. Buddy, you good?
I'm good.
You're good?
Very good. I love it, in fact.
Do you want to be loud?
Affirmative. Good.
You're good? Okay, got it.
I'm great.
Okay, that means we can all hear. That's good.
You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, America, and all the ships at sea. It's Clayton McKee, a Tuesday night in studios of the Q-Talk America Plaza right here in Central Phoenix. We do this every Tuesday night. It's a little gathering we have with a little drinking, a little talk, and a whole lot of fun. With us this evening is a round table. It's really an oval table, really. It's not a round table. Of a cast of people who are part of our show each and every week. A man who thinks that the boy is totally cute unless it's a lesbian, then right. Still cute, but just different. That's Buddy Early.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I have a spoon.
Oh, good, you have a spoon.
Yeah, they gave me a spoon at the drive-thru, and it wasn't like they put it in the bag. And I got a burger and fries. And he's like, oh, here's a spoon.
Random.
So I got You're a winner.
You're a winner. Also on our table, a woman who jumped from a perfectly good airplane this past weekend and lived to tell about it,
wow.
Katie June.
That happened. I can't wait to tell you.
Did you break the sound barrier?
No, that was another guy.
I can't even. Whoa.
Totally different guy.
Yes, yeah, horrifying.
And rounding out our cast of idiots.
Now I'm round.
Well, it's a shape.
And an idiot.
You're in shape. It's a shape. Someone who is a lifetime fan of Streisand, but not her version of Home. Mm. Didn't like that at all, did you? That's Al Perkins. He's with us. Hi.
I got to add it to my list to talk about. Hello.
About the concert or that particular song?
Oh, that song.
Just weren't happy with it at all. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but ooh.
It was bad.
I'll have to take a listen. I didn't realize that until I just read your status update moments ago. Because, you know,
you're right on top of it. It's like about a week ago.
Well, that's all right. I don't read all of your status updates.
Oh,
I just ran through before the show and pick out the ones that I'm going to introduce you with. That's how I do that.
I haven't been on Facebook all week, so I think there was two. And
well,
both
actually,
of them were today.
The other status updates that were on your page were things I'd posted.
Exactly.
Not as much fun.
Not nearly as much, no. So, Buddy, you got a spoon. That's a perk.
Yes.
You're up one.
Oh, I want a french fry because you don't like
them. Oh, yeah, go ahead. You can have the rest. Mm.
Those aren't gluten-free.
They are not. Actually, I've read all about it this week.
Oh.
And they are actually coated when they're made in egg and flour. Mm. So... enjoy that.
I didn't think.
Hey, fuck it. I'm not looking for a potato.
I did not think this at all
last
week. I
want a french fry.
I did not think this at all last week, but now, tonight, when I look over at Katie June.
Yes.
Who, by the way, apparently you're like me, Buddy Early is how people
it's a brand. I like to think.
I am seeing one of the gals from Delicious Dish on Saturday Night Live, Anna Gasteyer and Molly Shannon. I don't know why you give me that image until she says the C word, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then we'll be like, okay, it's not. And there is some business about Ann Coulter we should mention,
by the way. It's a cunty
muffin. I heard
those
that.
Those are good balls.
Sweaty. They're sweaty balls,
so
apparently.
Sweaty.
Uh-huh. So, Buddy,
yes.
I don't want to interrupt your eating,
no,
but I thought we'd
do.
We were.
Odds are you're going to.
Al and I, well, because I always go to you first and you've always got food. Al and I were talking today. We didn't know what the update of employment was in your case.
There isn't one.
There's no update?
Unfortunately, not.
Wait, but I'm sorry. I feel a little left out. Are you working?
I am working.
Okay.
There's some changes happening with my job, and it could affect my appearance.
Changes.
They could and will affect my appearance on this show.
Oh.
So we're frantically searching, but
the worst part is he will have to start working 4/10, which would mean he would not get out of work in time to be here for this.
That is
so, Katie, potential job opening.
Yeah. Right? Oh, God. Great. This has actually been an audition for you for the last 2 weeks.
I'm taking your spot.
It's like the Today Show, how they just brought people in to audition for me.
Right.
Regis was leaving. I'm like Regis.
Well, or like
you're
when,
like
or
Regis.
Like the, no, on Today when they brought in people for Ann Curry and she
right.
had no idea.
Oh, don't compare me to Ann Curry.
Oh.
No, please.
No, you're not
like
Ann
Curry.
I do too. I always liked her.
We're not going to kick your shit to the door.
Yes. No,
I
you're much funnier. She has better skin. I mean, you know, she's like what Polynesian or something. Asian. I don't
Stop
know.
All your head, Katie.
Vaguely ethnic. That's what I call that. She's
they have
vaguely
such pretty
ethnic.
Skin yeah. when they're that color of brown.
I like her voice because there's kind of a breathiness to it when she talks. Yeah. No matter what story she's telling, there's just a little, I don't know, sensuality to her story.
She's good.
These children in Africa are dying.
They're starving. But also, look at my skin.
Yeah.
So pretty.
Next
you
on Dateline.
No, you can't.
In Africa, I think it's okay.
No homeless people. You may not.
Okay, so you're good. You're still employed, and you've got food, and you have a spoon. So things are good with mm-hmm. Buddy. Katie, you jumped
wow,
out.
Wow, that was quick.
Wow.
You jumped out of an airplane.
I have to tell you, it was the most. Have any of y'all ever?
No.
No.
I don't plan okay. on it either.
Right. So it was.
Right, I know.
Yeah, not surprised. It completely exhilarating and is terrifying at the same time. And I am not kidding you. I cried the whole way down. I literally
really?
Was in tears. I think
fear or happiness.
Overwhelming. Oh. Overwhelmedness. And when
is
I got
that,
on,
I'm gonna Google that. Is that a word?
It is now. When I got on the ground, and you know they're filming you, right? Because I paid the extra like $95.99 or something crazy right. to get filmed. Which you can tell the whole way down, I'm terrified because he's going. Make hand motions, you know, give me a thumbs up, give me a hang 10. And you can see my mouth going, holy shit. And my cheeks are like blah, 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 in the wind. And I'm like not doing any hand motions. I'm just like, I'm literally crying. And I get on the ground and I was shaking and crying. And I said, this is the most amazing thing ever. And I hugged the guy and it was very overwhelming.
Because you're jumping tandem.
I was jumping tandem.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, well,
go
I'm
no, go ahead. No, no. You'll be fine.
A little push.
But you guys, so I just feel like I need to tell you the experience, right? So as you're sitting in the plane, and then all of a sudden they kick open the door, and then they make you're like sardines on this tiny plane. They kick open this door, and they go, all right, move, move, move. And you have to change position and put your leg on the other side of this bench, and they're all frantically, they're hooking themselves to you, you know, their outfit to your outfit. And you start scooting closer and closer to the door.
Oh,
and my,
you know your time is
my
coming.
God, my sister was with me, and it was I went for her graduation. I bought her this gift, which was a completely self-serving present.
I applaud that. That's good.
Now, you bought yourself jumping out of an airplane for her graduation, or she got to go too?
She was there. I didn't buy her video though. I was like, yeah, that's a little.
For my sister's birthday, I got her gay porn, and she's like, okay, here you go.
Yeah, works this was nice of you. Here you have
I'm pretty sure you won. You probably won that as a bar prize somewhere. You didn't pay for it.
I know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not, never, yeah. not chip
I,
in
no,
for
I,
that.
Never. I stole it all from X Factor some years ago.
Oh, of course you did. Oh, good. So it's good quality 1993 porn.
Yes, good. The good stuff.
Good, exactly.
It's still relevant.
She have
does she have a VHS player?
Gay porn is always
I do.
Relevant. I'm a fan. Yeah. I'm a gay fan.
You're
gay porn fan.
Shut up.
It's true.
Wow.
I think women, lesbians, I think it doesn't matter. I mean, it's hot. Right?
Yes. Well, I mean, I
just thought maybe
you're not going to get an argument from
yeah,
me. It just popped up on my screen. my iPad opened and I'm like, oh, that's a man having sex.
It was your.
Do you think it's just
account?
This is going to sound bad. Is it a void in your life?
Let me close my account here.
Is it a void in your life that you're missing? That's why you're.
I don't know. I know what a weird thing to just like say, but gay porn is hot.
Something that's not battery operated in your life. Is that what you're.
It's just like sexy men having sex.
Well,
it's good. Kelly and I both like it.
Oh, it's a mutual thing there.
Is.
Okay, I thought maybe it was just you.
It's a family affair.
Yeah, I'm gonna beg you to stop right now because you're revealing a lot about not just you but Kelly.
But she's gonna punch me.
I want to know if she punched you last week for coming home drunk in the back of someone's.
She didn't know.
She doesn't
bike.
Know.
For those listeners who do not
is it
know,
on the, is it on the however you get to a page for us?
Yes.
I don't know how to do that. Because you were like, oh, have you enjoyed how many new likes we have? I'm like, I don't even know where that goes on.
Something WWW, I don't know.
I'll show you.
The World Wide Web.
Last week.
But those pictures or video, has something been uploaded? Because
no.
That's fucking funny.
I'm sending them the video.
She's got to send the one video. All I have is the little one that you have where she's singing the trolley song.
Clayton, maybe you could tell our listener what we're talking about.
Okay, so last week, as I posted, I now have a little trailer behind my bike that I bring the cooler to the studio. I was in an
good.
Effort to limit how many times I have to drive to the studio, even though it's now 6 seconds from my house.
Again, we can see it from here.
Right. So, like Russia. So,
but closer.
So, I was given a little kiddie trailer you put kids in. So, I took the straps out because I'm not putting kids in this thing. I'm putting a beer cooler in it with Crown Royal. So I trucked here. Katie was with us last week. We had Rainbow Cab bring her lovely and talented personality.
Thank you, Rainbow Cab.
Yes, that was wonderful. So we decided to go have a bite to eat after the show, and there was no cab, no car, and she thought she was going to walk to Fez. And I'm like, well, just get in the trailer. So she sat on the cooler and held on for dear life.
And it worked.
And away we went. Al was the chase vehicle should something got him terribly wrong.
So I could run her over second. Just in case she didn't die from the first injury, I was going to run the bitch over.
Oh my God.
So the entire time, we were all laughing hysterically, and Katie is singing the trolley song.
I don't even know what that is, actually.
Ding, Clang, ding, ding.
Oh, it was a trolley. Oh, good. Yeah, okay, thank you for refreshing my memory.
So then we ate. So we ate.
I don't remember a trolley.
And then we had drank enough at Fez that we decided that, well, we'll just take her home. Well, if you live in Central Phoenix, you know that Fez is a little bit south of Indian School. Katie lives somewhere in the vicinity of 7th Avenue, Missouri.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank God I have 21 speeds on that bike, because going up a couple hills was a challenge. Between my fat ass
San Francisco.
I'll tell you. It
seems we went up there called speed bumps.
It seems a lot.
They are 0.5 inches
on the hill to get over the canal. That was the one.
It seems a lot closer when I go, no, I live totally close to here, because when I'm in my car, it takes me all
6 minutes.
And when I'm in
a cooler.
Sue from Rainbow Cab asked if I wanted to put my pedal taxi service to use for them.
You could.
No. Yes. No. There is nothing safe about that little trailer.
I don't know. Katie looks like she's in one piece.
I am. Yeah.
It was so much fun. We laughed the whole way.
I'm sending it to you. Good. There are a number of videos.
Oh.
So you'll have to splice and upload. I can do that.
So you have video of Clayton's ass? Does your phone have panoramic?
Oh, I need an applause sign here in the studio.
No, you need some sound effects.
Trust me, we're working on that.
So actually, no, and you hear me saying over and over again, which you know I'm just like, drunky.
Wasted
I'm going,
is the word.
You have such a great butt, over and over.
Because that's all she could see.
That's it.
Because she has panoramic eyes.
It zooms in. It's Clayton's butt.
I think she was just focusing on the red flashing light on the back of my bike.
Watch for the video, because it's Clayton's booty.
Oh my God.
It's like 10 minutes.
Thank
of
God you
booty.
Were behind us, Al, because she was blocking my back light from. So thank God you were behind us to make our ride safe.
Oh, the funny thing was, though, is it was all going along safely until he realized that thing doesn't turn on a dime. So he went around a telephone pole, swerved to the right, not realizing that the trailer was going head on for the pole.
It's like a Benny Hill.
And I'm like, no. I'm like, you can't turn. I'm like, lane.
Yeah, but then because I'm a little intoxicated, I'm just like,
a little. I like how you keep alleging you're a little.
I know. She polished off a bottle of vodka here in the studio.
Vodka Light.
Still,
it was
in the studio, and then went to Fez, and I don't know what happened.
And praise God, because you can hear in the thing, I'm just going, I'm filming, and Al's going, turn. So thank you for that.
I remember one thing about the whole night, because again, we were all loaded, and I have a new app on my phone that's a speedometer. So I strap it to it's on the handlebars of my bike so I can keep track of distance and whatever. And I remember at one point I said, Katie, you're fucking with my speed.
That is true.
The first time you guys made a turn and I'm like, lean into it. And she started leaning. I'm like, I don't know if that's the right way. We'll know when you
guys, that was fun.
When you plummet to Earth, we'll find out if that's the correct way.
The fear that I had, we were going up Central and part of that sidewalk is against a fence where they leveled some building. So there's literally like a foot drop off. And if one wheel would have gone off.
It would have been bad.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
I wouldn't have even known. I would have been splayed in the street.
No,
Still singing my song.
Did you guys take Central or Third Ave?
We took Central.
Oh, I'd love it even better. I was hoping so.
No, we went up Central. We cut across through my neighborhood, went up Third. Then went up Third.
Yeah, into my neighborhood.
Into her neighborhood, yes.
Across Camelback,
I love the people who don't even live here.
Blocks of Phoenix.
Tyler in North Carolina is like, where the fuck were they going?
Did Tyler move to North Carolina?
No, he's on vacation, little bitch.
No,
I mean that in a loving and nurturing way. Because he's in my dream vacation, the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
Oh, my God.
Isn't Tyler's from Tennessee.
Tennessee. Yeah. Why is he in NC?
He's visiting the Outer Banks.
Visiting.
Right now.
My brother and his partner took my mom last week, and they're still there to the other side of Tennessee, the Appalachians, closer to Tyler. And they've been, because my mom still has family there and whatnot, and they've been there for almost a week now, going up the Blue Ridge Parkway, Smoky Mountain.
Oh, it's probably so nice.
Most beautiful place in the world.
It's very, very beautiful.
And I don't think they're still back. It's been like a week. Get the fuck back here.
Oh, no, he's...
Come on, get
Oh, Jesus.
In Outer Banks.
He won't
Outer Banks. Kitty Hawk, that's where that is, the Wright brothers, and Roca Coke, and you take the ferry from island to island. It's beautiful there.
You'd go on a date with whoever you want to.
Uh-huh.
Taking a ferry somewhere. Very nice.
Exactly. Oh, there's a... I can't do it.
Okay, so that was last week with Katie, and now, Al, you've worked a lot this week.
That's all I fucking do now. I just work. I'm
the restaurant is so busy.
It really is, and there's only, like, two people working there, it feels like.
Slinging hash is really...
It's been good, and then
it's getting cold out.
Hungry. I'm really hungry.
Exactly.
For some warm.
It's
warm
a soup goods. Kitchen, but I just left. I just saw that. Did you see? There's a post of Mitt Romney
Ryan
Lapp
in Ohio. Yes.
Yeah, I got my picture taken at the soup kitchen, but I just left. I didn't help any of those fuckers.
Yeah.
So I got tickets from a family friend to the Bills Cardinals game.
Oh yeah, I wanted to see how that.
And
awesome game.
So a guy that I work with, we worked that night, and then we had to go to the game. So we did a little pit stop at my house. I think we slept for like 2 hours.
Oh, that's a longer pit stop than I figured you were doing.
Yeah, and then he was so funny. He's like, "What do you think about getting up at like 2 o'clock and seeing the end of this game?"
Oh, but
we got there borderline on time. It's a great system. The whole cheap parking is a really good. It's a bus system. Works out perfectly. They bus you right up the gate, and then you walk 65,000 miles to your seats.
No,
they were pretty good seats. We were on the 30-yard line of the card side, and
You were there to cheer on the Bills. Am I wrong?
You know what? They both kind of suck, and I really don't care about either team. So I really wasn't. I really didn't care. I'm more into the Jets.
Okay.
So when they said that the Jets won, I was like, well, now the Bills need to lose because everybody's tied for first place in that division, so it doesn't fucking matter.
And almost everybody's tied in the Cardinals division as well.
Yeah. So it was just fun, and it was a crappy game. It really was. They're two crappy teams.
It was exciting.
It was exciting in the fourth quarter.
But
the three were like, we're gonna need some beer, and the people around me need to get a lot funnier. And then the beer kicked in. The people and we were all talking.
And as did the beer, so did the people.
And yeah, everybody.
More, they were
everybody
more tolerable.
They go together, right?
And then the game got exciting. They really don't do anything. Like, the only runner they have is the quarterback.
Yeah.
And then he ran too much and got hurt and laid on the ground
Imagine
for a while.
That.
But like you made a joke last week about if they have a shitty running game and then they lose their one runner, what do they have left?
Yeah, well, they have lost nothing. Their two runners.
They have nothing.
And
they
this is the Cardinals.
Yeah, they suck. They truly suck.
That makes me sad. I thought they were gonna do
they
so
were,
well.
But they're going downhill fast.
Are they four and two or five
they're
and
four
two?
Four and two, but this was a must win because it's a game they should beat the Bills at home. And now they've got a tough schedule the rest of the way.
And they were shitty.
Kevin Cobb's out for 2 weeks.
Was it shoulder or a concussion? Because it looked like a concussion.
I don't think it was a concussion.
Okay.
I thought it was.
Just the way he laid on the ground like a dead parrot, I thought it was a concussion. Like, seriously, he didn't move for a little while. And then they brought the car out for him, and then the car drove away. But it was two truly shitty teams. And the game and then we're sitting there and we were into it, but we were like, okay, it's over. The Bills won. And then I've never been to an indoor game before. This was my first time at this. I've never seen football played in a theater. It's ridiculous. To go to an indoor game is to me was just stupid. It's not football.
It's not as much fun.
No,
right?
And I had so much sunblock on because I was expecting them to open the
room.
And then I'm sitting there like practically iridescent. I look like the kid from Twilight.
Oh my god.
Powder?
Yeah,
exactly.
She looks like powder. Because I was so ready. But then when we were waiting for the bus to come and go, it was still sunny. So the sunblock came in handy. God. But it's ridiculous. So this guy hit a field goal from the parking lot
because
there's no wind. Like at Rich Stadium or Ralph Wilson. Like, they have to kick field goals through, like,
it's
blizzards
serious.
And tornadoes.
Yeah,
and, like, you know what I mean? Like,
business.
There's a flying cow in that fucking story. And so this was just stupid. So this guy kicked a field goal, seriously, from, like, next week. It was so far away.
Is that the 61-yard one?
And he got it. He made it.
It looked too low. And when they put their arms up, I'm like, oh, we got the shitty refs again. And they're like, they showed it on the replay. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, he had a few yards left, too.
Yeah, he did. But then he missed the one from, like, right up against it.
Right.
Like, the one that he could have tossed it through, he missed that one. And it was just shitty. So then we had just made our peace, like, okay, we can leave. The good thing is we're going to get out of here.
Right.
Oh, no.
And then it went to, the people behind, everybody was like half Buffalo, half Cards. So everybody's cheering and
it's
crying.
It's fun.
Yeah, everybody was going. And so the people behind me were like, I'm like, oh, relax. The Bills are going to fuck this up. Do not be sad. The Bills will find a way to fuck this up. So we were playing with the crowd. It was a lot of fun to play with the crowd. They need to open
you
that
You probably
roof.
Really made the game. No, I mean, I would imagine, like, your friends.
The people behind me, they made the game for us. They were really funny. It was four people, three for Buffalo, one for the Cards. And the guy had some really funny calls.
Oh,
like, they made some shitty calls to that game. And the guy's going, home team call! That's a home team call! Because there was one that was, like, so far from a first down, it was ridiculous. Like, we're like, you know, we can see you from here.
Right. Hey, remember, there's an audience.
So that was a good time. And they went into overtime, and I decided I was going to move in and just sleep there because I was so fucking exhausted by that time. And then yesterday I finally saw Argo.
Oh, don't give me... I got 30 seconds on how my week was. Yeah. I didn't get to mention anything that I did.
I can't wait.
Well, would you like a follow-up now?
8 minutes on the Bills-Cardinals game.
Well, that was because I have nothing on my list this week.
But Argo, we both saw it.
But,
yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about Argo later.
I'm desperate.
If Satan permits.
Oh, shit, really? I do want to see that as well.
Oh, yeah. My God. Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Like, I guess we'll talk about it now.
We're talking about it now. Everything you think about how good this movie is, it's 10 times better.
Yeah,
like,
lives
I
up to the hype.
I have not been to a movie in I don't know how long where it was so dramatic and suspenseful. I was literally on the edge of my seat.
Even though you know the outcome.
Oh, yeah, because you don't know how it gets there.
Oh, okay, but it's the journey.
And I don't know much they played with how things really went down, and I don't care because it was fucking awesome.
There was one point where I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, but
my hand was up in the air to ask a question, I looked at my friend that I was with because, again, it was a rare thing. I went. Not only was there other people in the theater, but I was with someone at a movie, which never happens either. I usually go by myself. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think I've taken a breath in about 20 minutes.
And he's so good.
I forgot. I was with him. I was like, hold on the seat. I'm like, what the fuck is going to go on
now? Now, I have to tell you, though, that was probably...
I wish you would have said that out loud in the theater
also.
Tell you, that's probably, for me, so far, the best movie of the year. But I saw another movie that really surprised me, The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, I'm dying to see
and
that.
And I was afraid. I'm like, oh, is it going to be quirky?
I thought it was going
to
be a weird...
I don't like quirky. Yeah. Like, Zooey Deschanel needs to stay away from me because I don't like quirky. But it was so freaking good, like really, really great.
Yeah,
really
that's on my must see list.
That makes me feel like, what was that movie with Natalie Portman and Zach Braff? No,
oh, the
what
Garden
was the
State.
Movie? Yes, that's what I feel like.
Okay.
Perks of Being a Wallflower is going to be like,
State.
And I was not a Garden State person.
Oh.
Weird indie thing.
Perks of Being a Wallflower is a really good, authentic, like, it's not, you know, normally these movies with teenagers, they're either completely stupid or way too smart for what they really would be. But no, this is like real believable case. And it's based on this guy's true story. In his book about his experience
stories.
Mid to late 80s. So Alan, I mean, we'd all probably identify, maybe not you, Kate June.
At least like 9.
It's just great. I recommend seeing it.
Oh, good. Have you ever seen Never? just one more thing, because the poster reminds me of it. So I think they're going to go into this dark territory. Never leave me alone. Never leave me.
Never can say goodbye.
With the three, it's Keira Knightley and the two boys.
Oh God, what the fuck is that?
It's called Never Leave Me.
Stand by Me.
That's the movie. You've seen that movie, right?
We can't sing on this show.
About the kids in the orphanage.
You have to pay for it.
And you don't know why they're in the orphanage?
I can't remember. I don't think I've seen it.
I'll Google it in a minute. Okay. But I keep thinking it's going to turn into that, so I'm a little afraid to see it. Like, Never Let Me Go. That's what it's called.
Is it, like, it's new? I feel like I've never heard of it.
A few years ago.
It's like a year or two ago. And it's this really strange story about these kids in an orphanage, and you don't know why they're there. It's set kind of in the future where no one gets sick, and then you find out why no one gets sick and why these kids are in an orphanage.
Sounds creepy.
And it's really creepy and really
dark.
Did
you just give away the whole movie?
No.
I don't really know if I need to see it now.
So, but it was one of those things that every time I see the poster reminds me of that other movie, and I'm like, ooh, I don't want to go see another movie like that. Although I loved that movie.
Yes.
You know, but.
Go see it.
So Argo's phenomenal.
Well, listen, Argo
the best.
You know, Argo was beaten out at the box office. Taken 2.
But it's, but I think Taken 2 with PG-13. This is my, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
And I heard some pundits saying, pundits, that is so political. This is not a movie.
You're
not
working right now.
I know.
You're not at work.
I heard some radio talk show folks saying that they were appalled that Taken 2 would have gotten more. They said, you know, the American public must be thinking in their mouths. It was some weird analogy that
I don't even give
much
credit to that anymore. Yeah. It is what it is.
But it is what it is. And the other thing to think is it's a non-sequel, which is hard to get made.
Okay.
It's R-rated, which is hard to get people to see.
Right.
And it's a hard
teens.
R. Right, you lose the teen audience. They're going to go see Taken, and we got to look up what Taken 2 is rated. But an R-rated original movie, like, that's not a sequel to make any money at all, is like, if you think of The Hurt Locker and its whole run, it only made $11 million.
Wow.
And it won Best Picture. And it is It's the lowest. This one already made twice as much as The Hurt Locker.
And they're saying, Ben Affleck, get ready for the Oscars. Pull out that tux.
Editing for sure. I think editing Oscar is a lock. And
I think he's a lock for a director nomination for sure.
Definitely.
You know what? Sometimes the movie at times reminded me of an Aaron Sorkin film because a lot of the dialogue is so crisp and witty
so
perfectly written. It's something like that. But I mean, I can't gush enough about
this movie. And an
amazing
period piece. Like it was really, it was hard to tell where they switched from. You know how in Milk they that movie drives me crazy because all they do is show the times of Harvey Milk and then put a couple actors in. But it's really the documentary. They don't even bother to film scenes. They just steal right from it.
Yeah.
This one is
not true. That's not true.
No, it is true.
No. They actually filmed scenes.
Right. But they filmed like six scenes.
The
crowd scenes are right out of
the
production.
No, I understand.
So in this one, they did a little bit of that, but then they really reenacted stuff and used crowds and stuff.
You guys are making my mouth water. I can't
go tomorrow. Call Kirsten. Tell her you're sick.
Do you want? Actually, it's a babysitter issue. Do you want to babysit?
Oh, I'm busy.
But it could be a job possibility for you.
The hours might be better.
We pay well. Yeah.
We might. All right. And we have another room with a window. We can see the kid. We can just put him in that room.
Can
Palmer just go over here?
Yeah, she will. She loves it.
We'll put her in Studio A.
Give her lots of things to eat and break.
Playpen's a real thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
It's not just in a sex store.
So,
exactly.
Clayton, what did you do this week?
Well, I listened to all your stories, and since I feel like I do nothing, even though I'm busy all the fucking time, I don't jump out of planes. I don't know what football is. except I heard today that Beyonce is now confirmed for the halftime for the next Super Bowl.
Oh,
so,
booyah.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm sorry. I love me some Beyonce.
Well, you can't be mad about it.
Yeah.
No.
She's just the newer version of Tina Turner.
Okay.
I've decided that.
Yeah.
Sherry Shepherd brought that up today. They were talking.
I know.
They were talking about the All About Eve thing, the All About Eve factor, and they
said
that
somebody younger
that Beyonce. But I'm like, she was like 40 years late. Like, you know what I mean? Like Tina Turner's been around forever. Beyonce got here 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I
started liking her about 10 years ago.
I would like to see a Tina Turner Beyonce. Something. Do the two of them collaborate on
silly
something?
Fun.
That'd
kind of be hot.
It'll happen.
Aside from just working, and obviously I've now put carpet in the studio.
Looks
and we're
good.
Continuing
yeah,
on.
Looks good.
There was a picture of you with a saw doing something.
That was a hot picture. It's intense.
We were cutting this desk in half. That's all we were doing because we literally took 3 foot 8 inches
you're
off
right.
of this. Yes, we've been very busy around here. I installed a security door for my mother at her house.
Went out and purchased like 12 iPhones or something? What is all this?
That's always been there.
Is it really?
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
This entire program is running.
I'm sorry.
No,
especially since you sit next to them.
Yes, the show runs off of 4 iPods. Did you not realize that?
No. I actually knew that, and I've been here for 1.2
Did you also not realize
weeks.
That the name of the actual LLC runner is Post PC, which means after PC, Apple? We're trying to hit that market of Apple.
You lost me about 10 seconds.
Okay.
So
anyway.
But the best part is in the old studio, you sat right in front of them.
Yes.
Oh.
There
exactly.
was 4 iPods in front of you at all times.
Was it eye level? Because that could be the problem.
No, but it was at food level.
That's
you should be on target.
You were probably not.
I have a spoon.
I heard. You were blocked from seeing him by your Bugles bag. Is what the problem was.
Probably.
No, about where my laptop is right here, that's where they were in the previous studio.
Isn't that something?
So Sunday night, I had the pleasure of running into somebody that I got to work with several months back. I hosted the
Spit or Swallow.
Ooh.
Huh?
I just wanted to know what happened when you ran into him.
Oh, you're funny. That's I thought you meant I'm like,
that's where you need a sound effect. I was thinking
that probably not going to come out in the show. Several months back, I hosted a fundraiser for the Phoenix Metropolitan Men's Chorus, and the guest people who were there were Raja and Manila from RuPaul's Drag Race.
My God, I love all drag queens.
So Sunday, I'm at Sunday I'm at Charlie's, and who do I run into? Raja.
Oh my.
She's walking through the bar.
She's so good.
I love it. He was my favorite.
Yes,
he was my favorite on the
yes.
show. And I think there's this mild attraction. I think he's a hottie. He's a cutie. And I love his voice. But but ran into him and he remembered me because the last time that he was here, Manila got wasted.
Yeah.
Totally wasted at Charlie's. And Raja was like the voice of reason at that point, which I don't know. So I wound up throwing them in a cab at the end of the night. And so that's what she remembered. She's, oh, you're the guy that put me in a cab. Yep, I am.
Yes.
So I got to, I ran
into a rainbow cab?
No, actually, you just threw him in another cab. Just say it was. No.
Was Raja dressed as Raja?
No. Just as himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roger?
Yeah.
I mean, I could be on board with that.
Honestly, I don't remember what his real name is.
I just love all those queens. No, but like dressed as their queens. Like I want to see them in hat and makeup. And
starting next Monday is season 5. Oh. It's the All-Star season.
I'm
hosting each Monday night at Apollo's. Oh. We'll be showing it starting at 7. And we're following each week's episode.
At 7, not at 9?
No, because we're going to show it live. Yeah.
No, a girl can't even go to dinner before this shit starts.
Get your shit together.
They have popcorn at Apollo.
Well, yes,
or do like Buddy does every week here. Bring shit with you.
Hello, I've got a spoon already.
So starting next Monday night at Apollo's, because there's not enough on my plate, I'll be doing...
there's a lot of meth on your plate?
There's not enough on my plate.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You want me to talk louder or slower?
I don't know. That one went over my head. I was like, wow.
So then immediately following, we're going to show Untucked, which is the behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
So
which that'll be at Apollo's. The good stuff.
Yeah, good times with that.
So tell me, wait, I want to ask you, because I never was able to make it last season. Sell us really quickly on why it's so much fun to watch at Apollo's.
Well,
why are you all nitpicking the show together?
Well, it's a big screen we're on for one. Number two, you've got a bar full of queens drinking, all ripping everybody in the show.
That's
so
fun.
And then there's always the oh no she didn't factor, you know, where somebody's like, what did she just do? What'd she say? There's all it's just fun.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's similar to this show. You get drunk and you just bitch about shit.
So, I love it.
So you're sitting at Apollo's with all your friends that are either in the drag committee or not, or maybe just like the show, who may know nothing about drag. For those of us who have been all of us have been around drag forever, so we know the behind the scenes and what it takes to get out there and to do it. So if you don't know and you see what they go through, it's kind of interesting.
I like it.
My mom likes the show because it's real, and I kind of equate it to like the Project Runway stuff because they have to put their shit together and it's all on the fly, which is kind of crazy to me. But
well, they're just so talented.
Very.
And just fun, and bitchy divas, and that makes for some good
TV. I'm a Project Runway junkie, so.
My mom loves that show because she says it's the only reality show that actually is showing real talent. And I agree with her because these people have to create shit out of their head. I mean, like, they have to come up with...
And they go on dumb shit. Like, they go to, like, a pet store and have to make dresses out of dog food bags. And then I love the dresses.
Yes.
But I always know I have terrible taste because the one that I love is always the one they're like, that's cheap and horrible.
I start to feel horrible about myself because I go, ooh, when they're walking down the runway, I go, that one is so good.
I know.
And then by the end, they're like, you are out. And I feel like an asshole.
Right. And then I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, yeah, I have that taste.
There's that.
Clearly.
Every time. Yeah,
we've already gone 33 minutes about into this show and we never shut up. But we're going to start.
Well, thank God, because it's a talk show.
Yeah, I know that. But I think I'm just.
It's a good thing.
Now that we have a sponsor, I have to make these points and hit them. This is Katie, don't hate me. This is for boys. I'm sorry about that.
I like boys.
Go to adammail.com now and you get 50% off just about any item. That's right, guys. 50% off, but that's not all. When you choose one item at 50%, you'll also receive 3 all-male DVDs. Buddy, you could give them to your sister. Yeah. that are sure to get you in the mood. And to top all off, we'll throw in free shipping. And no, we are not teasing. So check out adammail.com right now for this special offer.
Right now.
Right now. Well, actually, after the show's over. Or unless you can just do two things on your iPod at once. Get 50% off of one item and then use the coupon code QTALK1 and that'll get you your 50% off. That's adammail.com. And now it's time for headlines on QTALK America. As I grab them right off the teletype.
So prepared.
I have a handout tonight. You'll be excited.
Ooh.
Katie's first handout.
This is fun.
A $9 cardboard bike can support riders up to 485 pounds. A cast member of The View has a traumatic experience. A straight man comes out and pretends to be gay for a year. And a poll reveals that polls reveal nothing. These stories and other bullshit tonight on QTALK America's headlines on a Tuesday night. Oh. for the love. I dig deep and hard for these stories, boys and girls. I really, really do.
Both of those things are available on AdamMail.com.
For 50%
both
off.
Both titles.
This first one, I thought this was really cool. This is 100% real, and I found this on the web. I don't know if... pass these around.
This is crazy.
This is crazy. Do you know of this?
No, but when you just said it, I'm thinking this can't be a real thing.
And here's a fat person on it.
No. Okay, he's the designer.
Oh, come on.
Oh, danger.
He wore stripes.
Izar Gaffney has designed award-winning industrial machines for things like peeling pomegranates and sewing shoes. He's also a bike enthusiast.
These are two things I would never do. If I'm not sewing my shoes, I'm busy peeling a pomegranate. What the fuck?
He creates things for things that people need to do. So he's also a bike enthusiast who's designed a lot of carbon fiber rigs. But one day he heard that somebody had built a canoe out of cardboard.
And they're still trying to find the bodies.
I love this.
Why not newspaper?
Oh my God. You've actually turned red. You turned red.
It's true.
Oh my God.
The idea of the canoe. I'm going to just turn all your mics down. The canoe is still.
This is up there with the flying cat.
Oh, Katie missed the flying cat episode. You have a picture? The idea drilled into him, into his consciousness, and ultimately...
drilled into... Also, at adam.com.
It drilled 50%. Into him 50% off.
Okay, listen. Now listen, bullshit killers. The bike is called the Alpha. It weighs 20 pounds, and it supports 25 times its own weight. It is made out of 100% recycled materials, mostly cardboard.
Parts of the canoe. Whatever they could salvage.
No. I mean, he's like, I'm not breathing over here.
It uses a belt-driven pedal system, which makes it virtually maintenance-free. And the best thing of all... it is literally produced for $9 to $12.
Oh.
There's a $5 kids version, which is a little smaller. But now it's making it the most sustainable bikes you can imagine, but also the cheapest, depending on what the markup is going to be. Mm. But the idea that they're saying about this is it's recycled materials because it's that literally is made out of
cardboard.
It's crazy.
And it's covered with, they use whatever items they use to strengthen the cardboard to make it. That's harder than. No, dumbass. That is harder than carbon fiber.
I don't believe it.
We'll make one new bike for every canoe that sinks.
No. So he's currently working. You guys are killing me. Engineers told him that it was an impossible thing to do, but he worked for 2 years to develop.
But no. I peeled pomegranates.
No,
I can do
there's
it.
No global warming. I will not believe it.
So if you Google the YouTube video, Google it. Cardboard bike. There are videos of him showing him making it and riding it around. What they're saying, though, is because it's so cost effective that in countries where they have, I guess, massive congestion of the cities because of cars, that this is a cheap, economical way for them to get out and make transportation more viable in these cities. Plus
good.
The fact that it's recyclable.
So you're good. You can see good. You pronounce it perfectly. Good for you.
Now, according to...
That's a good story. I like that.
No, but that's real. That's
I know.
I'm reading about it on the LA Times
she's already
right
on it.
Now.
The family members of the canoe people are touched by it, too.
And when you get to your destination, you can fold it up and live in it.
No. God damn it. But right now, he's working with manufacturers to start producing the bike. Okay. I'm gonna just move on.
Probably smart.
This is too much. Too much for the boys. Too much for the boys.
For those of you listening, both of you, I would like you just to Google cardboard bike and look at the video and you'll realize
you
it's real shit.
You can fold it up and live in it. That's perfect. Two problems, one elegant solution.
Oh my God.
Shit.
Okay, so let's go.
please.
Okay.
I'll need the drink.
I'm probably.
This is coming with me.
You who spent $900 on your bike because it was fake. No, actually, the new bike, the one that was stolen, was expensive.
Yeah, this one was free. The new one. It was cheaper than the cardboard one. Yes.
That's the flying cat.
That's my cat.
Do you know about the flying cat?
Don't you? No, don't talk about my pussy.
I'll play you the sound clip in a minute because we still have it.
Okay.
A cast member of The View had a very traumatic experience this week. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is learning a little about children and growing up. Her 7-year-old daughter, in normal conversation changed calling her mommy and switched to mom. Hasselbeck tweeted, "Today my daughter started calling me mom instead of mommy, and it taunted me all day." I couldn't give a shit about her, but Al told me this story today, and it was so funny. Upon telling the story to the other ladies on the panel, Barbara Walters said to wait until she's older, and in a stern tone, eventually she's called mother. If your daughter's mad, Joy Behar chimed in telling her, "Well, just wait till the day she calls you a bitch."
Oh, God bless you, Joy.
I was doing my best to find an audio clip, but on ABC's website, they bleeped it. So I couldn't.
That's so bad.
It was
but
so
God
funny.
What's funny, you, is, Joy
what's funny
Behar.
Is they edited the
I
version. So Behar saying the line was edited, but when Walter says, goes back to her, "Well, you're a bitch for stealing my line. They didn't take that out.
Yeah, for stepping on my line.
Oh, but that was funny.
It
wait
was.
Till the day
oh,
she.
I love Joy.
Wait till the day she calls you a bitch. I thought that was very funny. You know, I'm going to guess over time, like, there's been moments where I've been in a crowd and I've been yelling, "Mom, mom," and, like, there's 17 other people calling for the mom. So I just yell, "Diane," and get her attention. Did you ever run into that?
No.
Or did you always just call your mom, mom?
You know, I'll say, I always call my mom, mom. My little sister calls her Janet because she and her friends think it's hysterical, and then she's Jan. But one time I did call my mom a bitch. Once.
Oh!
No, I told you it would only come from a girl. I said that. I'm like, only a girl could get away with
no.
calling your mom.
Let me tell you what happened.
A gay man.
My mom, I was in high school. I was, like, way too old for this to happen. And I said, and I was mad at her. She wouldn't let me do something I wanted to do. And so I said, so I walked around, you know, you don't know my house, right? But I'm walking around.
No, we
from
don't.
The, no, you don't. Around from the kitchen and down the stairs to my bedroom. And I go, under my breath, "You bitch."
Oh,
and
she heard you.
"What did you say?" And grabbed the back of my shirt and slapped me. So my dad gets home from work.
Oh,
this is humiliating. I was so too old for this. And he comes into my room, grabs me by the front of my shirt like he's going to deck me, right? And pulls me into the bathroom, sits me on the counter. I'm like 17.
And then starts laughing hysterically.
And takes a bar of soap. And in and out of my mouth at 17.
That is humiliating for you.
In my teeth, I was.
I'm almost wishing you hadn't told us that story.
It is, wow. It is humiliating. And I'll tell you what, it's the one and only time. One and only. That's I learned my lesson.
You only need that.
That's one and only.
Fire burns. Good to know.
I thought you were going to say he pulled you in there and sat down and said, "You know, sometimes she is."
I know. He was thinking it, but he's like, "Oh, I got to do
this. I have
got to
do this. Right.
I don't say it to her face."
I thought my father always called my mother Viv, and I didn't really get that.
Because her name was Ruth.
Her middle name was Vivian. Oh, so he called her Viv. But so when we found out her name was Ruthie, like, somehow it came up. Someone called her Ruth. I mean, we knew her name was Ruthie. She was Aunt Ruthie to a lot of people. But it just struck me as funny when I was little. And so I always called her Ruthie, like, the whole time growing.
Did you really?
I stopped calling her mom, like, probably in, like, the second grade. And everyone thought it was so disrespectful. But I'm like, no, she's Ruthie. Like, it was just such
And she was cool with it?
She just got used to it.
Yeah.
She probably cried for a couple of years.
But you didn't know.
But
as I say, if something makes me laugh, I won't let it
right,
up.
Yeah.
So, whiskey.
Oh,
Jen is only the one. She's a whiskey drinker.
God bless Ruthie.
Oh, how funny. Okay, and I'm sure you've all heard about this story, and I just want to touch a little base on it. Timothy Couric came out to his family and friends and lived as a gay man for a year in order to experience what life is like as an LGBT person. The Liberty College graduate told ABC News he learned to be very afraid of God in church and learned that the loving thing to do is to tell a friend who is gay. He literally says, quote, "Hey, listen, you're an abomination and you need to repent and go to heaven." He believed that lock, stock, and barrel. But 4 years ago, a lesbian acquaintance of his relayed the story of how her family rejected her when she came out, and then he was moved to take action. And he actually kind of went undercover, came out to his family, all but one aunt, recruited a friend to play his gay lover for a year, and he lived as a gay man and said it was horrible. He had no idea of how bad people were treated and how people were ostracized and how that's the most anti-Christian thing in the world, because that's not what you preach love and acceptance and blah, blah, you know, all this other stuff.
Fakey.
So He went through.
Oh, no. It was.
No, I'm saying the love and acceptance as a Christian is so much. It's so much hypocrisy.
They practice almost none of it.
He got a job in a gay cafe, hung out in gay bars, joined a gay softball league, all while maintaining his inner identity as a straight Christian. Nobody knew. The only person who knew the truth was an aunt, a close friend, and a gay friend who was recruited to play his boyfriend. So he had a friend who was gay, recruited to play the boyfriend. They played it all off. He learned how to flirt and reject advances and how to tell people no. He was busy or he was occupied or however he did it. But it was through this whole journey, his mother actually became an ally of PFLAG started to realize all the plight of all these people that she had been saying were going to hell and all this all the time.
Yeah, so she felt, because she ostracized him and she told him that he was a sinner and all this stuff. And then she took the year to kind of like, how is she going to make peace with...
Because she thought he was really, really coming out.
And she wrote in her diary that she would have rather found out she had cancer in 3 months
Isn't that horrible?
Than have finding out she had a gay son. So at the end of it, like, they all learned this valuable life lesson. And she was like, I was doing nothing Christian. And they were talking about, like, that there's only, I think he said there's like 7 passages in the Bible that have anything to do with gay. And he's like, but there's like hundreds of other things that they all choose to ignore. So you can't take it literally. And he was talking about how often he heard them. Right. Like, how often people just spit things at him. And he was like, that's all you have to say to me? Like,
right, yes.
So what you're saying...
friends went by the wayside, everything.
That is fascinating.
What you're saying is that even fake gays have boyfriends? Yeah. And I do not.
So I just have to recruit...
ridiculous.
I just have to recruit someone?
I'm going to go pick him up on my cardboard bike and be like, you're mine!
Well, this can handle like 5 times more weight. Get on.
The last thing that he said in the interview, because he actually came out as straight on National Coming Out Day, which was what, last day on the 11th?
Yeah.
Hey, this is so weird to me, this whole thing.
What he said, what I went through is nothing compared to the experience of the average gay and lesbian man or woman. They are never able to say only 12, 8, or 6 months before I got to be me again. They have to be themselves their entire life. So what I considered to be the most eye-opening facet of my year was really only a glimpse of how bad the closet really is.
Wow.
So it's really eye-opening. I thought it was very interesting. And I cannot even imagine. I heard about this talked about on KTAR the other day, a local radio station here in Phoenix, and they were joking about the fact of, okay, let's say that you're gonna go undercover as a drug dealer or a homeless person, or you're gonna do whatever. Going undercover as a gay man, that's kind of a commitment.
It is.
Yeah. You've really there's some.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, was he just like kind of experimenting for a year?
I know, right?
That's right. He's like, I was just thoughtful.
Because you know how those homo novo guys are always the queerest ones, like, yeah.
Right.
Like
yes,
like Mr. Bachman is really yes. Ms. Bachman. You know what I mean? Like
right.
They're always like the gayest of the gay. Yeah. They're Jack from
those who like hate are something.
But what were you gonna say?
I don't know.
I was just gonna say this
brings to mind. I don't know if you saw the latest tweet or one of the latest tweets from our favorite See You Next Tuesday.
Oh,
where she on Monday tweeted, last Thursday was National Coming Out Day.
Oh, yes.
And Monday is National Disown Your Sunday.
Yes.
Wait, who said that?
That's
my friend Ann Coulter.
Ann Coulter said that.
She's such a...
Yeah.
She's a cunt.
Horse face.
Yeah, she's a horse face cunt.
Horse facey cunt.
She's one of those people that earns the word. And she was on Bill Maher this last week, and they shut her down.
Oh, good.
They shut her down left and right.
Honestly, someone needs to shoot her down.
Normally condone violence.
Allegedly.
Yes.
We got to move on getting into sports here in just a second. However, a slew of recently released polls from the nation's top public opinion firms have revealed, essentially nothing about the 2012 presidential race. Sources confirmed Monday. Conducted by top polling companies Gallup, Public Policy Polling, and Rasmussen, the pretty much meaningless polls reported offered no deep insight into any key demographic in the United States, and when it comes down to it, we're all basically pointless and a waste of everyone's time. In addition, a CBS News New York Times poll and an ABC News Washington Post poll both showed essentially the same thing. A CNN poll of polls confirmed nothing concrete except for the fact that 100% of the people who clicked on the headline linking to the poll's results will never get back the 3 minutes of their lives.
I'm sorry. This is the onion. This is your
poll.
Come on.
You know that. That is the truth.
That is crazy.
My only thing with this is the polls still do not count cell phones.
Right.
Cell phones, you can still block pollers. Like, there's too many ways, so we're not getting the right demographic.
Oh, I answer every unknown call so I can fill out a poll.
Carrie, we'll try this again, buddy. Ready?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, here we go. And now it's time for Buddy with Sports.
Yeah, let's speed through our headlines. World Series contenders turn out to be mostly familiar faces. If you were wondering, Week 7 is the week when personnel changes begin in the NFL. ESPN poll reveals...
The poll of polls.
ESPN poll reveals majority of pro athletes in favor of gay marriage. And barbecue sauce that smells like Michael Jordan sells for $10,000.
Oh, God.
Oh. All right. Horrible. Well, Game 3 of the American League Championship Black Series man, is Black underway man. Tonight with the Detroit Tigers leading the New York Yankees in Game 3 and leading 2-0 in the series. As the Yankees, Tigers, Cardinals, and I'm not even reading this now. Yankees, Tigers, Cardinals, and Giants. That's how up to the minute I am. Are squaring off for the right to play in the World Series. Incidentally, the Cardinals, Giants, and Yankees are the last three winners of the World Series. So the Tigers are sort of the sentimental favorite. Right now, the Tigers are up 2-0 and lead the series. They lead the series 2-0. They're up tonight 2-0. In the seventh inning, and the Cardinals and Giants resume their series tomorrow. It's tied at one game apiece. So by this time next week, we will know who is playing in the World Series. So
the October excited? Classic.
Yes, the fall classic,
fall
if
classic,
you will.
Yes.
Yes.
Is, okay. To answer your question
who you
from
rooting
last
for,
week.
Clayton?
What were you reading?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
You know I shut down on sports.
I know. It's sad. Okay, the Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns both made moves this week to signal that they are not pleased with the way their seasons are going. Early on Tuesday, the Eagles fired defensive coordinator Juan Castillo, putting a Band-Aid on their problems and maybe even putting said Band-Aid on the wrong boo-boo. The offensive woes, particularly those of turnover-prone Michael Vick, seem to be the team's big glaring problem. Meanwhile, the Browns announced that President Mike Holmgren will retire at the end of the season. However, the former Super Bowl-winning coach is apparently being forced out as his replacement begins on the job October 25th. Well, so one of those situations where it's like, we want you to go, but would you retire and you can save face?
Well, yeah.
Moving on. Here's a poll that's very interesting. ESPN, the magazine, polled a combined 62 athletes, not exactly a wide...
That's, sounds like a yeah. sexual innuendo.
62 athletes.
Seven more and you get blown.
Oh, no. Wow. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Somebody had to do it. God damn it.
ESPN, the magazine, polled a combined 62 athletes anonymously from the NBA, NHL, NFL, and Major League Baseball on a host of political and social issues and found that 59% of those polled support gay marriage. The percentages were 92% in favor among NHL players, 61% in the NFL, 46% in the NBA, and 45% in Major League Baseball.
NFL, NHL is mostly foreigners, though.
Exactly. Yeah, I wonder if that has, and I don't know. It's again, 62 spread across four leagues. That's not a lot. That's 15 ish per league. But they think they get a representative sampling. Here's the interesting thing, and I think the NHL figure is maybe skewed because of the foreigners, and they come from a lot of places like Canada and maybe some other countries where they're a little ahead of us in terms of same sex marriage. But what's interesting is the other three leagues. If you look at the percentages of how they support gay marriage, they're generally, and I've been saying this for years about sports in particular, the leagues where people have been to college, they have a higher acceptance of same-sex marriage. You know, NFL players have been to college 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
NBA players, somewhat less. Some go from high school, but actually not anymore. But they
Do
go
they
to
stop
college
that?
A little bit. Yeah. You have to be out at least 1 year. And major league players, a lot of them don't go to college. They go to these small towns to play in, you know, the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And so they're not exposed to a lot. And I think this poll kind of, even with only 62 athletes polled, it's kind of representative of that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Not something a lot of people think of. Okay. A man from Chicago purchased a gallon of barbecue sauce intended for use on McDonald's McJordan sandwich in 1992.
This is hideous.
For $9,995 on eBay, according to the item seller. It doesn't really smell like Michael Jordan, by the way.
I was going to do it if it did.
Right.
Mort Bank, black man.
Mort Bank, a former McDonald's owner-operator in North Dakota, sold the sauce after his daughter suggested it might be worth something. The sandwich was named after Michael Jordan during the Bulls' run of championships. Mm-hmm. And Banks said the regional McJordan promotion was the first time McDonald's named a sandwich after a person. Its limited production made the sauce a rare item. Bank would not disclose any information about the buyer other than he's a male from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, this barbecue
That's
sauce is 20 years old, but it's a fast food barbecue sauce. You know it's still good.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's like Fruit Loops. You will live forever.
But, didn't McDonald's, like maybe 10 years ago, have like a Colby? Didn't they have a Colby Bryant? They named a burger after Colby?
Colby?
Colby Bryant. They had a sandwich.
I thought you were saying Colby.
No. They had another promotion about
they
NBA.
It raped you in the ass. What did it do? How did it
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Isn't that what he did?
And it tasted great.
But you, but you put a ring on it afterwards. Yeah. Let's focus on the bride.
I mean, if we're talking about Michael versus Kobe, Michael could not rape his way out of a paper bag. So you got to give it to Kobe there.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just really? Okay. Really?
So really?
You're defending a rapist?
Okay.
Allegedly?
Okay, so Tyler doesn't believe that I normally don't condone violence. It's true.
He does it all the time.
I'm abnormally pacifist.
Are you done with sports?
Yeah, because I was looking at the clock and I thought we had to rush through it, and you guys didn't seem to have anything to say.
That was.
But I'm going to have some of these Halloween Oreos.
So yes, those were left over from apparently on this network. There's an eating show. And
what do you guys want to know about sports?
Well, wait. I'll update you from the chat room. Oh. So Tyler agrees that college-educated residents of the South are far more accepting as a group than those with high school educations only, and I say that all the time about going to college. Mm-hmm. And the reason they call it a liberal arts degree is because you learn to be liberal.
Right.
Because you meet so many different people.
Diversity,
unless you go to Oral Roberts University and I guess learn to give a blowjob. I'm not sure what else you do there.
No.
Because even if you don't get a degree, even if you flunk your classes, being in that environment is what I think makes a difference.
Right. And you're exposed to different people.
NFL players,
yes.
That's why you see those numbers, and that's mm-hmm. why a lot of the people we've been talking about over the last several weeks and few years, in fact, sad story about that coming up in a second, are
spoiler
NFL
alert.
Players because they've been to college 3 or 4 years or even got their degree, some of them even mm-hmm. graduate degrees. Just open-mindedness comes with that.
Yeah, it's like the more you travel,
learning.
The less...
It's learning.
The more you know.
It really is. But the more you travel the earth, the less likely you are to be afraid of other people because you're like, well, I've seen this now. Yeah. Unless you're in a bazaar in France and everybody smells a little funny. And it turns out one of them is you.
They do smell funny.
Raj's name is Sutan?
Sutramal or something, yes. It is odd.
I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh my God, these are amazing.
I know they are.
Okay, Joe.
I agree. Those Oreos are good.
Joe, he made cardboard boats. They had to support
You can't even read it.
I can't read it. In high school physics class, there was an annual competition to make a cardboard boat that had to support at least 2 people. The boat that lasted the longest won. There were no survivors.
Well, you see those.
We have an annual today to mourn the loss of the cardboard boaters.
You see those competitions. They're always running these whenever they happen on ESPN. They'll run the highlights of these contests where you have to make some sort of contraption out of cardboard and you go off the bridge into the water.
They do that here. Remember when you were in like 6th grade, though, and you had to do the same thing with an egg?
Yeah.
I took that really seriously. Like, I'm pretty sure. I won. Like, I was like plotting for weeks about how I was going to make my contraption to not break the egg. We went to Sewer Ridge Park. We had to climb up the stairs on one of those old houses and then drop the whatever the contraption was with the egg inside. And whoever's egg didn't break.
Woman?
And I was like,
a woman?
Joe. I won because I was like insane.
I just heard egg inside and I assumed you meant woman.
Stop it now.
We dropped a woman off of a bridge.
Stop.
And now Tyler currently in North Carolina, he did one where they didn't put human lives at stake. They had to take 150 drinking straws and masking tape and build a tower that can hold a tennis ball.
Yes.
So they don't have to have an annual memorial for the physics team. And
by the way, I don't know if it just sounds like he's not in the chat room, but are you still on speaking terms with the Wilk after last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Just checking.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
No.
No, I always poke fun at the Wilk.
I'm joking, of course.
They write down the top of the first hour to edit this. 7:59 to edit them. That's the new thing. I have to write every time we fuck up something, we have to edit it. I have to write down what time so I know how to find it. Oh, for the love of God.
No, that was just funny. So I think that was it. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, no.
What? We have time. What do you want? It's
well,
your show.
I was going to plug another show on the network. I just found it the other day. It's called The Queen City Experience, and I was looking at it because I'm like, well, the Queen City is Buffalo. They can't possibly mean
Charlotte.
That. And no, the Queen City is Buffalo. It's the second largest
Charlotte's
city.
Also known
I didn't know
as
that
Queen
was a
city.
Real thing.
Do you have friends doing a podcast out of the East
no,
Coast?
No, and I was looking to see if I knew them, but you know, I've been gone for so long. So anyways, it's called the Queen City Experience. It's on Q Talk, and it's on Mondays. I think Mondays and Fridays, maybe. Okay. So I'm going to listen. I just saw their headline and read their thing, so I'm going to
And it
listen.
Is out of Buffalo?
And I'm going to try and take that over.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Well, you've done a good job with
Ding.
This show.
I have a spoon if you need it.
Hey, let me ask you quickly. Like, this is a good little station plug.
Sure.
How do I find on my iPod? How do I go on my iPod and mm-hmm. I download Q Talk America?
Actually, if you go to the Listen Live link, if you go to the website, and then you once you go to the Listen Live page, you save it as a shortcut on your homepage, and it'll go to it every single time.
Get out.
Yeah.
Easy.
We are
live
24 hours a day. We rebroadcast a lot of our programming. This show actually is rebroadcast from 3 to 5 p.m. on Saturdays. We're live, obviously.
Good.
Well, the three of you also may know, we're live right now. Because we're sitting here. Yeah, just so you know.
Yeah.
These are crazy things we find out here in the Q Talk America studios. We're coming to you live from Studio B in Central Phoenix. We're getting ready to start hour two, where the drinking game begins. So if you've got a libation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
If you've got a libation, no matter what it is, if you choose to drink something that's got a high proof rating or just water, you
or
can do.
Shitty wine that I'm enjoying.
You're enjoying shitty wine.
It's shitty.
Well.
Gluten-free cider.
Jesus. Shitty.
And buddy, what do you got there?
Whatever's in front of me.
What is that?
That's a Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Oh, there's a beer in the cooler.
It's so dangerous.
I brought a beer just in case you wanted one. I'm drinking Crown and Diet. That's
oh,
what I was.
What?
That's a shocker.
Shocker.
It's a shocker.
What?
I know. It's new. It's new and refreshing. It's Q Talk America. It's the show with Clayton McKee, Al Perkins, Buddy Early, and tonight, filling in, Katie June. Woo. We'll be back for hour two right after this.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. You're listening to Q Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, well, good evening once again. It's the beginning of hour two, coming to you live from Studio B of the Q Talk America Plaza in Central Phoenix. Thank you for listening. We are here every Tuesday night, live and in studio with the show. My name is Clayton McKee. I'm here with Buddy Early. Katie June is here with us this week, and Al Perkins. And as we do at the beginning of each and every hour two, we start, it's a little drinking game.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Your drinking word is pole.
Yes. Use the poll at your leisure.
P-O-L-L or P-O-L-E. Either
However
one works.
You choose to identify.
Oh, my God. Do you guys watch 30 Rock?
Occasionally.
When they were trying to tank it and they had the game homonyms.
Yes, we've been talking about that for 2 weeks, my friends and I.
Just oh, my God.
Hysterical.
I feel like I need to watch it.
The one that you write? No. Oh, the other one. Damn it. It's so funny. And the other line that almost stopped me in my tracks, and it's been 2 weeks of laughing at this. You've been married for 20 years? That's twice as long as it felt like Arliss was on the air. Oh, man. That line was so random and so fucking funny.
Oh, 30 Rock.
Yes.
And it's kind of like they decided, you know, we don't really give a shit about middle America. We're the lowest rated sitcom on TV. Just want to aim for the three people that watch. Uh-huh. And they had me at, that's twice.
So who are the other two people that watch?
Buddy.
And then there's
the two of you.
Apparently.
And then some random person in that watches
in Ohio.
And laughs their fucking ass off at that show.
It is funny. When I do catch it, it's very, very funny.
I'm with you. Yeah. Occasionally I'll watch it.
I watch a minimal amount of television, so I don't catch it. But when I do, it is very, very funny.
I like it.
And my favorite thing is they just walk by the jokes. Like, they don't. Right. Uh-huh. There's no pause. They just keep that train.
No laugh track. Rapid fire.
Yeah. Yes. Very funny. Was the Rachel Maddow joke about the hair? What was the thing?
Oh, yeah, exactly. The day he was Reaganing, and there was only three people that had ever Reaganed, Lee Iacocca, and no judgment, Saddam Hussein. So after he finished this meeting, he had to go talk to Rachel Maddow, because only one of us can have this haircut.
One of my favorites from all time is Jack says, Jenna, I want to Tupac you. And she said, okay, but I have to pee first.
When he's sitting there in the tuxedo.
I almost shot that out of my nose. I'm sorry.
When he's standing there in the tuxedo and she's trying to write the speech for him, and he's like, the speech is next week. She's like, then why are you in a tuxedo? It's after 5. What am I, a farmer?
Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
So fucking random. All right, I'm going to do my list first.
Seriously, it was great.
Because I did a little a spoiler alert on this story coming up a couple of weeks ago, and it came out from the gays. Everyone Google the Broward, what they're called, Broward County Log Cabin Republicans. I can't even say that out loud. That's such a fucking oxymoron. Mm-hmm. Broward County Log Cabin Republicans, blah, 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 blah. They published an ad, and they're saying that Obama does not support gays or gays abroad because of the ambassador in
Libya. Get over it.
And still not confirmed that he's gay. Still no one is, I guess, like I said, it's one of those, like, he's like the Anderson Cooper of ambassadors. Allegedly everyone knows, but nobody talks about it. So they have an ad that they put in their local, like, Echo magazine, their, you know, their gay trade paper, with a picture of him being carried by the locals, and it's very graphic.
It's a bad picture. I've seen it.
And they're saying that remember I was talking about that a couple weeks ago, that everything that allegedly happened to him, now they're still confirming reports that he was brought by locals to the hospital. It's because he didn't go in an ambulance.
Right.
So I was expecting, like, the right-wing crazies on Fox News to pick up on this, and it's this Broward County Log Cabin Republicans that published this photo, and it's an anti-Obama ad. And it's horrible.
Wow.
And they're actually putting this guy's dead body. And allegedly he's still alive, because he made it to the hospital alive.
He is still alive, but it's the one where they're dragging him through the streets.
But he's not really being dragged. He's being carried.
By a friendly person who's trying to help. But it is a really, really horrible
photo. Yeah, but they're
photo.
Trying to depict it as he's being
horrible.
Paraded through the streets dying. And to have it come from these motherfuckers.
God.
And so I guess there's two other log cabin groups in the state of Florida, Dade County, and then somewhere else. And
Dade and Broward are both in the Miami area.
Yeah, yeah. They're disavowing it heavily. And now they're starting to say, I read one of the things saying that this was a plant, that this was someone buying the ad under the guise of that this Broward County Log Cabin Republicans don't really exist.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, this is a fucked up story, and this story is going to get more traction. I think they're trying to make this the October surprise.
Yeah.
They really are working very hard, which is different than the World Series.
Right.
I understand that.
So
thank you.
I saw that, and it's such a sickening story.
Ugh. Those people should be hit with a pole.
Right.
Drink for that.
On a lighter note, because the Queen City is Buffalo, Niagara is Rainbow County. How could I not be gay?
That's true. How could you?
Jesus Christ. I was doomed by that pole.
drink.
Anne Hathaway is submitting herself for Best Actress for Batman.
You can submit yourself?
Yeah, that's the kit. Because everyone has been kind of talking that she was going to do a double whammy. Like, they were going to... There's that thing where if you're in two big movies, it's the Richard Dreyfuss thing where he's in...
I don't know what that is.
Richard Dreyfuss won an Oscar for The Goodbye Girl, which was kind of a silly movie. Okay. But he was also in Close Encounters of the Third Kind that year, which was nominated for Best Picture, but not really an acting picture. So they kind of scooped up another movie and put him in. And so he had like the big hits of the year, and they just found one more credible. So they're saying that that was how Anne Hathaway was going to get in, but they're afraid that she's going to ride an acting nomination and not get nominated for Les Mis, which is what she really wants.
Right.
So she's trying to put herself out of contention for like any kind of self-competition.
Oh.
And her people in the movie company, they support her through trade ads, have bumped her to Best Actress. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, probably a good move, although they did the reverse with Kate Winslet when she won. I mean, they bumped her up from supporting, and she ended up getting nominated and winning for what was, to some, a supporting performance, but amazing performance anyway.
But the lead actress, she was a supporting role, but she was the lead actress. It's that stupid-ass fucking argument.
I'm just going to say I had no idea that there was like so much behind-the-scenes gameplay.
Oh, the Oscars are all politics.
I didn't know.
All politics. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's
like, this is like plotted out. Like, people are like making, you know, wages, betting on this, and campaigning. I had no idea.
Yeah, they bumped two movies now from this year. They moved the Sean Penn gangster movie got bumped to post-Christmas, and they bumped the Great Gatsby.
Oh, so they moved their
release dates.
Well, the
Great Gatsby, they bumped a couple months ago, but the next summer.
They moved the release dates to get for the Oscars?
Yeah, you either move them up to get them into competition, or you take them out because you know you're not going to get an Oscar campaign.
Oh, right.
Which tells you that the movie's probably not that good, because they're going to dump it in the spring, because January through March is all people that have been nominated.
This is like a whole thing I need to get up on.
Yeah.
Oh, this one knows everything about that. him and Wilkie both.
They talk about it at the restaurant a lot. Right, I hear. Like, it's like a restaurant combo.
But when every job I've ever gotten, and I've only had five in the 40 some years I've been working, or 30
four that he was good at.
Good restaurants, though. Yeah. So, you know,
some of them were actually restaurants. I tell people right away, like, you can do whatever you want to on Oscar night, but I'm going to be home. Yeah. So you can put me on a schedule. You can plan a party. You can do whatever you want to, but I'll be home.
Can I come over this year?
Yeah. There's an audition process, but it's okay. You'll probably make it.
By the end of hour three tonight, you'll know whether you've made it or not.
Super Bowl party to audition people. If you react appropriately during the Super Bowl, then you can get invited back for the Oscar.
It's
an audition
process. But you should work really hard, because the TV is a fucking amazing.
Oh, and I'm ready.
And there's no fucking phones.
I'll do whatever I have to do.
I mean, you can talk on your phone, but there's no Googling something. I know who won, because you'll get stabbed in the throat. So, Tyler, I guess I do condone violence more than I say. Okay, did you guys see Tech Talk on Saturday Night Live this week?
I loved it.
No!
Saturday Night Live, they had Tech Talk, and they had these three people bitching about their iPhones.
It was amazing.
It was so funny. And the one guy's bitching about the camera. What were the things
they were
bitching about?
The one girl was like, when I point my camera directly at the sun, I always get a purple hue. Why is that?
So then they get them to talk to the three Chinese laborers.
I'm going to Google that.
The phones.
And they're sitting there like, we live in huts.
Yeah. Oh, you had to wait 7 hours for your iPhone. My sister had to wait 21 days for baby formula. So yeah, same thing.
Just three times longer.
And what is Jude Delore, what is his name?
Kenan Thompson?
Kenan Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
All he has to do is look at the camera and I giggle. He makes me laugh.
It's his eyes or something.
So he does his bitch, and then he sees the Chinese people and he's like, I want to take it all back. I want to take it all back. I want out of this. And the host goes, we're sorry. It's a trap.
And they wanted the Chinese laborers to maybe bitch about American products. So Fred Armisen says, oh, I don't know. Let's see if we can think of an American product. Is diabetes a product? How about that? It's amazing, because when that sketch started, I was like, oh, what is this going to be? And then it was freaking hilarious.
It really, they hit it out of the park on that one. But I just wanted to know if Joe saw it, because I thought of him immediately with
that. By the way, Portions of Tonight show sponsored by Synthetic Insulin.
With the shit that we eat here, that's not a bad idea.
These candy corn flavored Oreos.
That is,
and these, yes.
That is
these, none
synthetic.
Of this is gluten free. Katie,
no,
careful.
I want a bite so bad. Yeah.
I want a bite.
Hey, you know what? Give me the. You brought those gluten free cookies. What? I haven't had a taste of cardboard yet because I'm not eating a bite.
They don't taste. No, it's they don't taste like cardboard. There's just something.
They're
that's
dry,
but there's something that's not vanilla. It's,
yeah,
I can't place
it's
that
fake.
Taste.
Okay,
according I've had to this wang in my mouth before. I've had this pole in my mouth.
Whoa! According Drink. To this, where did you get these?
AJ's.
Oh, you paid $8 for these?
You did not.
It says right there.
You paid guys, $8. Oh, my God.
I have a sugar mama. I don't look at price tag.
Oh, you God. Are a bad she, couponer.
She can hear you.
I know. And I know okay, she's supposed to have this.
So at 8:14, I have to make another edit. Writing these down.
Just kidding, baby.
So Aunt Gussie's cookies, these are allegedly vanilla swirl gluten-free.
Yes. So it was gold I was tasting. That's why they're $8. Well,
and now carpet fibers.
They're heavy.
Golden carpet fibers now.
Gluten, I've golden found in the last week, fiber. Gluten's very, it's heavy, like gluten-y things.
This weighs as much as my laptop, this one cookie.
Oh, stop. Maybe your iPhone.
Oh, maybe. It, does it weigh as much as the cardboard bicycle? Can it hold 50 times its own weight?
Wow, with chocolate milk, these would be good.
Yeah,
yeah, with gluten, they'd be even better.
Wow.
It's kind
of like molasses.
No,
it's average.
But it's
at
got,
best.
It's
maybe?
Got, what's that little taste that's going on? It's not
fake things.
No. It really is a flavor. Like it's a genuine thing that they're going for, but it's not vanilla. They missed vanilla.
This
and
is
they
like,
hit,
like this is like they just bake cookies, just a dough
like
with
an
no
almond.
Flavor.
Yeah,
it's
like,
almondy.
It's all, yeah, they yeah.
Shut
they,
up.
They missed
it is
vanilla.
Almond-y.
They hit a nut,
or a pole,
or a pole. So my last
drink,
I took a pole of Gaze. And there's a few of us that are big fans of Barbra Streisand and The Wiz, and not just whizzing in general, but The Wiz.
The movie.
I like
or
the,
Broadway.
I like the movie. I saw the City Center Encore's production of The Wiz a couple years ago with Aisha. Is she dead or alive?
I think alive.
Okay.
That was,
then
you're
I,
thinking of
Aaliyah. Aisha
died
was
in a boat accident.
Still dead.
Was in The Wiz at City Center Encore's, and she was amazing. And home from that show, and even Diana Ross singing it live, doing her Barbra Streisand jealousy thing where she sang it live.
Okay.
She didn't sing to a pre-recorded track. Because Barbra Streisand at the end of Funny Girl sings My Man Live because she didn't want to lip sync that. So she
God
snot
bless
right,
her.
Right, right.
God bless her.
So she snot bubbles. So right. Diana Ross had this big jealousy of Barbra Streisand, so she did Home Live. And she fucking, you know, she doesn't hit all the notes, but she put so much passion behind it that you're kind of with her. Like, okay,
yes,
sure.
Yes.
I got what you're going for. You're 40 and you're singing about a 12-year-old song. Barbra Streisand in the Pole of Poles. I got to tell you, first off, it's a horrible arrangement. I mean, it is 80s at its worst. It's like the Cosby Show bad.
Oh,
like,
but I am.
Chick-a-bow, pow, whatever that. Wow, that is like the least funny sitcom ever on TV.
Oh, it's so sad.
I'm with you on that.
That is just, that's a tragedy.
I was a big fan.
Wait, you thought the Cosby Show wasn't funny?
Not
I actually
even
loved
not
the Cosby
laugh.
Show.
I watched it for like 2 years. I'm like, is someone ever going to make me laugh? But anyway, I always say good 80s, bad 80s. So
right,
the Cosby all right, Show is always in the bad 80s.
For you.
So this arrangement of home is so bad. And then what makes it worse is, and I never thought I would say this about Barbra Streisand, it's not in her key.
No,
like
no.
The song is
everything
not in her,
is in her
range. That's exactly what
right?
I thought up until this. I was in my car and I almost crashed into a pole because
oh, pole!
I got drink.
I honest to God, I could not even imagine her releasing this song. It's so bad.
I'm so
is it because Marvin? Is it because Marvin Hamlisch died and he didn't arrange it for her?
No, well, he didn't do a lot of her arranging. Peter Matz does her arranging.
We'll write that down.
Just look at any album.
Feel free to just adjust your microphone, Katie. Right?
Sorry, I know. That's sorry. I'm so sorry. But, I'm sorry.
So, anyways, you go through.
I thought we were under attack.
Yeah. I was too.
Drones.
The swarm of bees riding it on a pole. So, so you go through this shitty arrangement that like loses the whole song, and then all of a sudden they click in. They're like, oh, you need a big finish because she has to get home at the end of this song. Like, you know what I mean? Like her wish to be home happens right at the end. And so all of a sudden she goes for it and they stop the arrangement and they go into the traditional and she's so far off the mark. It's just, and she sounds like she's screaming. Like it gets to bad karaoke. By the end of it, you've reached really tragic karaoke.
You know, I'm really super lost because the only home I know is that Philip Phillips song.
Oh, it's
when I think of home, I think of a place.
No, God, I need to.
Didn't Lena Horne do it?
No, she does musicals. Believe in Yourself.
I'm sorry, Believe in Yourself.
Yeah, she sings, the Glenda Stephanie the Good Mills? Witch sings Believe in Yourself.
Oh my God, I love Barbara.
Was it
so
Stephanie
Mills?
I do too.
I mean, seriously, I mean, yeah, so the Good Witch sings to little Dorothy, and she sings Believe in Yourself instead of, you know, click three times.
Right.
She tells her Believe in Yourself, and then the little girls, she sings about, I want it, like, when I think of home. She remembers how much she loves her home, and then she hits this big note, and the set changes, and all of a sudden she's back in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So Stephanie Mills did it. Diana Ross did it.
Diana Ross is from the movie, but Stephanie Mills is the one that, I mean, but Diana Ross, she just sells it.
You realize she's Diana Ross.
So far off the mark.
It's crazy to think this. Stephanie Mills, 1975.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think it's that long. I was telling Al today earlier, speaking of Barbara Streisand.
It's almost 40 years
old. It is so much before I was born.
No, I understand that. But what's funny to think of is I was talking to my mom the other day in regards to last weekend, Barbara Streisand had the concert in Brooklyn.
God, I love her. Yes. Right. But the funny thing, first time ever that she's performed in her home.
In her hometown.
Right. Yeah. And she's doing, is it this weekend in L.A.? I think I read.
Yeah.
But what's funny to me is, to me, and I guess it's, though I've followed her over many, many years, just like Al has, you know, to me, she's still the same person on the Star is Born album cover. She's the same person who, you know, performed with Judy Garland on her show in the 60s. And all of a sudden, I'm like, Jesus Christ, she's 70.
She's not.
Yeah, she is. She's 70.
Barbara.
But you forget.
We did a show for her birthday.
Because you forget that.
And that time
Though you're listening, right? It's like Donna Summer to me is still Live and More from 1978. She's not, I
mean, not live anymore.
Now she's dead. But but the point is, it's like you forget. You keep listening to them when they're 30 and they're 40 or whatever, and all of a sudden you find out they're doing a concert. She's aged just
now,
like everybody
else. Let me
tell
you what, that is really surprising because I have a Guatemalan nanny. And she is 70, and let me tell you the difference.
I have a cardboard bike. I mean, I guess.
Let me tell you the difference between my Guatemalan nanny, Tila.
Does she know about a pole?
And a drink. And
Betty looks very confused right now.
No, not confused. Just white woman problems. Wait, what's a Guatemalan? What's a Guatemalan nanny you speak of? A goat? Is that
she's not. Okay. But I'll tell you
Or Rosario from.
But I swear to God, Tila speaks no English, and that's why we hired her. And that is a true story. Because you know what? Little kitties need to know Spanish, need to know the Espanol.
Oh.
That would be a good idea.
Yes, and I want, yeah, so we hired Tila, and no inglés, and...
Okay, wait, you're two white women. How the hell did you hire her? Did you have a translator?
We found our friends, two lesbian white women, had her from some other friends that had lesbian
Robin?
White women.
Robin.
She's been, like, transferred between lesbian white couple to lesbian white couple. She loves lesbians.
Was the Amistad ship somewhere involved in this transaction?
Wow.
That sounded bad.
God. I'd write down 821 for...
No, yeah. But I mean, like, you said they had her.
I know. That's
They owned her.
You know, I don't know. I actually don't really totally know how we came about Tila.
This isn't, like, second audio program.
One day she showed up at our house.
We will trade you our Guatemalan nanny for a cardboard canoe.
For a Subaru. Do you have a Subaru?
No, she's teaching our daughter Spanish. But yes, I don't know why I said that.
Tila's not listening.
No, she doesn't understand even if she is. So it's fine. So
English-speaking people understand.
You know what I love? My favorite thing about the holidays.
You're German all of a sudden?
I don't know what we're going on there. I don't know who's offended by that, but please call in.
Am I allowed to sing a song on the show?
Well, a portion of it.
Let's see if you know this. This is my favorite holidays.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
Jingle bells. My God, it makes my heart sing.
Is that the only song she knows in English?
No, stop it. That has nothing to do with Tila.
Right.
So I just thought of that because when I'm already playing Christmas music at my house.
Shut up.
Oh, I know. It's embarrassing.
Do you?
It's embarrassing, but I'm...
Do you live at Home Depot? Because apparently they've got all their Christmas shit.
I am this close to breaking out the jingle bells. Because
I did it 2 weeks ago.
Whenever there's a dark day, I need my jingle bells.
Doesn't it just make you dance and have fun? You feel good about life.
I like that version of that song best.
Jingle bells on crack.
By Johnny Mathis. To me, Johnny Mathis and that and We Need a Little Christmas for Johnny Mathis. Love it. If I was 20 years older, I'd be chasing Johnny Mathis.
I have got Barbara Stations. I have
with whose hips? Oh, you'll be on the cardboard bike. It's recyclable.
I'm gonna kill you when this show's over.
I've got her Pandora'd. The Barbara Streisand Pandora Station.
But the best. Okay, here's my holiday. My constant bitch about Pandora. It doesn't matter what name you type into that. Seven songs later, you're listening to Tori fucking Amos.
No.
I start up on the Donna Summer Channel, and I'm listening to Tori Amos.
No, that
I put
is
it
not
in Lennox. I end up at Tori Amos.
7 degrees of Tori Amos.
You're always back there. It's like that bitch owns Pandora.
She might. That's how she's still.
You end up at Slash Your Wrist Music and. Has that woman ever had a happy day? She's kind of like the other one that always sings around dead puppies. What's her name?
Sarah
McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Jewel.
Jesus
Tune
Christ.
Her out. And we're done with her. She stopped that lesbian. When she was doing the lesbian, like, you know, concert circuit, she was so fun. And now she's done with
Oh, my God. The first time they whipped her out for an in memoriam at the Oscars, I'm like, well, who better?
Whipped her out?
And she's like, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
She's, I'm going to sing about the other dead people,
bad.
Though.
She's bad.
What was that? What was that? That lesbian labia fair? What was it called?
The Lilith Fair.
I went to the Lilith Fair.
Before I was even out, before I even realized I wanted to do
it. I remember because I worked with you then.
No, before that, I was actually selling glow sticks at the
Jesus
Lilith
Christ.
Fair.
To Guatemalan nannies.
I did that job. I sold glow sticks to lesbians.
Oh my God.
Wait, were they on ecstasy?
This is seriously the talk show of the absurd. What the fuck?
Oh,
I did that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to write down 825.
Exactly.
I
lived a quiet life on ecstasy and I sold the glow sticks the next day. That's recycling. They're glow poles now.
Oh my gosh. No, I went to the Lilith Fair one year because I was there. I think we were there handing out condoms and literature. No, I'm not joking.
Yes,
for
I
your other poll that doesn't
I'm
glow.
I'm not joking. Boy, we took a lot of condoms home with us. But the thing that the reason I volunteered to go was because
they use the dyke dams.
The reason I volunteered.
Do they have another name?
No, we don't use
the reason I volunteered to go was because, you know, there were a lot of names there. But women, I was
it's
like, oh,
so
they're cool.
Good.
But
Natalie Merchant.
No, Cinder Calhoun was there.
What the fuck is that?
Sounds like a
Cinder Calhoun, Anna Gasteyer's character from SNL. Oh, she was there on the small stage singing her song.
Actually, Anna Gasteyer.
Yeah, fucking hysterical.
Oh, that
singing
is
her
funny.
Songs about being a vegan and stop torturing whoever and whatever.
It's so embarrassing that you say that, and I actually brought vegan cookies. I feel like there such a
labia. Yeah. Oh, Harrison, like labia fair. Okay, so
thanks, Harrison.
Back in the very late 80s, I went to my first, the woman that I lived with at the time, in a very platonic way, thank you very much. We were not double dipping. We were putting the chicken nuggets in the sauce, girls.
He doesn't even double dip with a fun dip.
She liked Melissa, I would say Manchester, Melissa
Etheridge.
I like Melissa Manchester. I do too.
No,
but we went to a Melissa Etheridge concert.
No, she's not.
And this was
she is.
What's that?
Google that.
Melissa Manchester's dead.
No, she's very much alive.
Oh, sorry. I thought she was
dead. Well, I don't know. Google it, because I've been wrong every time we do someone's dead,
listening.
I'm wrong.
Well, who died?
I am.
Melissa Gillis.
Harlan Specter.
Harlan
Specter. Yeah, he did. You're right.
Oh,
so we went
die.
To the concert, and I'm like, there's a lot of fucking ladies here. And I thought nothing of it. She sang her songs, and it was
but
the
you
second
didn't know.
Album. No. You look similar to me, but I'll still fuck you. She sang, had a song like that. It was like the second album. And then a couple years later, I'm like, in public, and all of a sudden I'm the only one comes across on the PA system, and I'm like, oh, she's a dyke. I mean,
that was like
halfway,
news to you.
Halfway through the song, I'm like, oh, that's why there was all women at the concert. She's gay. And my, the guy I was with
Jesus,
was like,
Al.
You can tell from this song that she's gay. I'm like, what's all she's singing about is...
Right.
Yeah.
It's practically
Loving
called
ladies.
I Like Pussy. Yeah.
Loving the ladies.
Melissa Manchester, born February 15th, 1951, currently 61 and alive.
Ooh.
Well, that's debatable.
One of her biggest songs, obviously, the 1978 hit Don't Cry Out Loud that Diana DeGarmo redid on
American Idol.
American Idol.
Oh, yeah. And she has Donna Summer's Grammy for Best Pop Vocal Female 1983 for You Should Hear How She Talks About You, and Donna Summer should have won for She Works Hard for the Money.
What
and Donna
is happening
Summer
right now?
Walked out of the building.
What's happening right now
because
with your trivia?
Donna Summer thought that was the only Grammy she wanted. That was the only Grammy she ever wanted, was she wanted the Grammy for Best Pop Vocal for She Works Hard for the Money, and she left the building.
Oh, she said, no, she did.
And now she really has left the building.
Yes.
Oh. Calling Elvis.
Unlike
she
Melissa
opened
Manchester.
The show, like, she opened the show with it. They made a big production number of it. They
and
made
they
it,
gave
like,
it to Manchester?
It was the for You Should Hear How She Fucking Talks About You.
Wow.
Try to even sing that song. I can, but.
Oh, I can.
Obviously.
Because I wasn't lying about being a Melissa Manchester fan.
We can play 10 seconds of it.
No, we don't need
yes.
to.
Yes. All right.
Oh, I have a question. Wait, whose list?
I don't know. Where are
well,
we?
I don't remember. I have a question for your list. It might be a third hour question, but I'll start it. I wrote it down from last week. So how do lesbians decide who carries the baby? Because you said you were thinking about another one. And
wow. Yeah.
It was going to be you, so.
Well, I think that.
Draw straws.
Mostly.
Well, they figured out
whoever
that.
Lasts longer in the cardboard canoe.
I figured because they know
it's a series of obstacle course races, and.
Well, they figured out her cannon works, so they figured.
Yeah. I mean, let's be realistic. Yeah.
See, now
my lady friend's parts are over 40 years, and so they're misfiring like crazy.
You know.
She actually has a really bad back and like just shitty jeans. Ask her. She'll tell you. Bad jeans. So, you know,
Are they
Jordache, okay. Gloria Vanderbilt?
Look at me. These jeans are, no. She has, you know, I think that honestly you would really look. You could look sometimes at a couple and say, well, one of them is maybe more. I'm going to shoot myself in the foot. Someone, people will throw things, eggs at me. But you can sometimes say, well, this person looks or feels more like the woman that would want to carry a child.
We say that about Al. Yeah.
So you guys, don't you totally get it?
Because I might get hungry later.
Al is currently in a delicate condition.
I think that
full.
Most lesbian couples would say that they maybe, you know, just maybe one of them is more inclined to carry than the other.
Mm-hmm. I just wondered that because you were so sure about that answer last week that I was like,
But also, Kelly has a really bad back. She's over 40 and also, it's not her thing.
I love to say, it's just me imagining that conversation. Kelly's like, you know what? I have a bad back. I don't think I should do it. It's just really bad.
Right. And it's so bad.
I'm having a shitty week. Why don't you get impregnated?
You know, I just was like, I always wanted to be pregnant.
Did you really?
Okay. And I didn't really know that until I got pregnant. But now I love it so much. I can't wait to be pregnant again.
She's a serial.
Seriously?
I loved it. I love
sports.
It.
Okay.
You can't ride in my trailer if you're going to be pregnant.
I know. Oh, yes, I can.
We're gonna have a list of things. You must be this tall to ride this ride.
Yeah.
You must be darker than this pole.
Hey, look. If that cardboard bike can support 400 some pounds, your little fucking trailer
can support me and my unborn child,
little pregnant Katie June.
Yeah, thank you.
It's made out of nylon.
I thought I actually broke through it at one point. So
the
I'm
trailer?
Glad it, yes, I'm glad it's
no.
still intact.
No, we're still intact. I'm going to actually build though a box on the trailer frame because I don't trust it.
I don't. It's going to be a horse and buggy. In 2 weeks, it's going to be an Amish.
You will.
It's going to be a covered wagon. You'd be like, hiya!
Clayton, you really could be making like a separate, like a side business out of this.
No. I have no desire to peddle people, white people
yes.
around town.
He's gonna end up building those heaters in the back like the Amish do.
He's gonna come up. You know what?
Because it's Arizona. Nobody will fucking care if it works.
I'm sure you could come over and pick up Tila and
Palmer.
Yes.
You wanna, oh my God, you could take my Guatemala nanny and my daughter on
rides. Can you see that? Can you see that?
I can't actually. No. Yes. No. Tila is very small. She would fit in there very. She's compact.
Is she a
She is. She's a tiny lady.
She's Guatemalan nanny to invisible fairies.
Yep, there she is.
So wait.
She's very small. No one can see her.
Ride her around. Muy poquito.
So
I learned that.
Are you done with your list, Perkins?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Katie, what do you got?
Okay, so I had something that I don't know how relevant it is, but it's relevant to my life.
The rest of this show is not relevant.
Just an hour on Barbara Streisand singing a song from 1975 is...
Throw a dart and see what happens.
Okay, I hope you guys know what I hope you guys have watched this, but, you know, I know we took movies, and I've told you last week I'm not, like, a huge movie person, but I'm a TV person big time. So the night before I was going... On Friday night last week, I was going... before I went skydiving, I turned on... I had watched 666 Park Avenue, mm-hmm. 666 Park Place. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay. So it's really scary, but it's like so good and it's intriguing. And
Vanessa Williams, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God, I love her. And also the guy from Lost.
Terry McQuinn.
Yes.
I do love Vanessa Williams.
So excited about it. And also, oh my God, also the other guy who's in it is the guy from Brothers and Sisters. What's that actor's name? He is actually the lookalike for my baby daddy donor. So I'm kind of, and he's hot. Yeah. So I'm kind of excited about that. Cause they,
I know who you mean. I saw episode
What's
one.
What's his name? I can't remember. Not important. So, anyway, I was watching that and I thought, oh, I feel so scared and I want to be scared more. So I was looking forward to the new season of American Horror Story.
Yes.
So not out yet, right?
Any minute now.
Not out yet. Tomorrow. So what I did was I went ahead and I ordered on Amazon Prime the first episode of season one of American Horror Story because I'm not good with scary things. I watched that movie, The... crawling out of the TV.
The ring. Yeah. Some bitch crawling out of the TV.
And I couldn't look. I couldn't go into my basement with the TV off. I'm like a total scaredy cat.
Oh, and they're not fucking around on American Horror Story. That's terrifying.
So I turn on the first episode, and Bad News Bears. Why did I watch it by myself on the couch? Totally dark. My whole back wall of my house.
I'm confused.
Bad News Bears, the 1975 movie.
I'm sorry. It's just a phrase I use.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not scary.
I followed her a lot.
Although the chick from Bad News Bears just died this past week.
Oh my God, see, Christy
McNichol.
No,
the one who nobody
together.
Remembers.
Nobody cares about her. So, Al, no, thank you. And so it's my whole back wall of my house is all back doors, big French door, all windows. So I'm laying on my couch on my stomach and I'm watching this movie on my iPad. And every time it cuts to commercial, my iPad goes black and all I can see is like window behind me. Jesus. And I am panic, terrified, horrified. And Kelly, by the way, has the flu. So I'm not allowed in the bedroom to sleep. So I'm sleeping on the couch because I don't want to get sick. And I'm watching the show and I start like crying. Much like I cried on my way down on the skydiving, I cried again when I was watching this show.
Or after the show last week.
And so at 42 minutes and, or 43 minutes and 22 seconds, and that is honest to goodness the time when, you know the show.
Yeah.
When the very first episode, she goes, oh, I got the drugs you want. Come down into my basement.
Oh,
and
fuck,
the girl says, okay, yeah, I'm here. And she goes, go around the corner. That's immediately. And I was like, delete. Mm-hmm. And I turned it off and I deleted it. And I was horrified. So then the next day I go skydiving. And then I'm like, wait a minute. My balls are bigger than this. I can watch the next 10 minutes of this show.
Oh, gosh.
Cut to, long story longer. I am now spent the last, however many days, watching it nonstop. I can't stop.
So what about
Did you get to the Halloween episode yet?
Yes.
Halloween part one. I had to turn it because I'm a big scare. I watch everything horror and I'm afraid of everything.
God, Jesus, yes.
So I started to watch it at night and I was like, fuck no.
I can't watch it. No, I can't watch it at night.
I watched it on my living room, my coffee table. I was sitting on my coffee table this far from my TV with all the lights on at 5 p.m.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I was scared shitless. Yes. I was afraid to go to work because as I'm walking to work, I'm like, oh, I'm sure they did this in Halloween. You know what I mean? That's because it was near Halloween last year. So it was kind of like that whispery, windy day when Jamie Lee Curtis, of course I turned into Jamie Lee Curtis walking along the trees.
I'm like, of course
I'm so scared. I was afraid to go to the bathroom.
But you loved it. Like sucked in, right? Were you totally sucked in, buddy?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And it stays that good till the end.
Well, I'll tell you. So today I got through birth. And here's the horrible thing is I actually went to work. Don't tell Kirsten Cinema. But I went to work at my office and I was supposed to be doing. But instead, I sequestered myself in a private little office, which I never do. I usually sit in the common area and I'm like, oh, I love politics. And today I was like, oh my God, I had to get through more. I sequestered myself.
There's one after birth, right? Yeah. Okay. And I have to say, I am never surprised at movies. I am never surprised at movies or TV shows, with very few exceptions. I see everything coming. The big spoiler in that one.
In Afterbirth?
The daughter.
Oh, my God.
Oh, right.
The daughter was not in Birth. That was in Scary Smoldering Children.
But
was the episode before?
I got to tell you, I did not see that cover. I had to go back and I had to go back four episodes and start watching to see if they played by the rules.
Yeah.
Nearly fell off the
and
couch.
And they did. They did.
Yeah, okay. It's fantastic.
What else is on your list?
I'm sorry. That was exciting. So the other thing is that the GOP recently in California, this is kind of a new thing, has been starting to back marijuana consumption and the marijuana use. And they're gaining traction from people like Ron Paul, right, who is a libertarian, which, you know, they generally say, right, we are fiscally conservative and we're socially more liberal. So the marijuana initiative is being backed, and I shouldn't say California, it's in Colorado, New Mexico, and one other state, that they're starting to look at making it legal. And I was just wondering your take. I'm a proponent.
It should be legal.
My parents are staunch Republicans who actually voted in favor of legalizing marijuana. So I think it's an interesting take. You know, I have a brother who is a drug addict. Right. But and so, you know, I'm not like super in favor of that, but I just, you know, I was wondering your take. I'm in favor.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all probably are. I don't like pot myself. I think it's gross. But I smoked it, and again, I just don't like it. It's not my thing. But you know, who cares?
Yeah. My thing is, get the kids off stuff. Yeah. Give them a joint and a rum and Coke and have them stop taking Robitussin.
Right.
Like,
really?
And yeah. So,
bath salts and bath other, salt all this other bullshit.
Like, seriously. Remember, we talked about me being raised by alcoholics. Oh, like, yes, we're not shy about drinking in my family. Right. And there was never a question that I was going to, like, sneak something. Here's your rum and Coke. Shut the fuck up about it. Very healthy relationship with the liquor. Like, we didn't pretend anything bad was happening. I didn't have to go sneaking anything. I wasn't doing prescription pills my mom was a nurse, so there was pills everywhere because she was from the era of stealing everything and bringing it
God
home.
Bless her.
We never went to a doctor. She would just she had this, take this pill.
They also never needed Sweet and Low because she had all that.
She stole all that too. I'll tell you a third hour story about all the shit she used to steal. But honestly, so it was like, just smoke the fucking joint.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom wasn't on board with the joint thing. She didn't know that me and my sister were both like big tokers, but seriously, when it comes down to it, like, everybody that I know that smoked pot, pretty much all still alive. Well, one girl kind of drowned, but that she smoked at the wrong time.
Oh, so there's that.
Anyway, that was just my, you know, I think it's important.
But
to
legalize,
just, like, and they
tax
say, it, like, legalize
it
and tax it.
Yeah.
Legalize and tax.
Prostitution,
I'm a
same
big
thing.
Fan. You know, I'll tell you, my dad really quickly said, he voted for it because he said, if I'm ever terminally ill, give me a bag of weed and a bottle of scotch and send me to Florida and I'll fish and I'll smoke and I'll drink and I'll have a great fucking life.
And he may or may not drown, but it's a good plan.
Well, it depends on whether or not he's in a cardboard canoe.
Right, so exactly.
It could make the difference.
Check and see who's building you.
I got to start planning my stories better because if there's something you two can make fun of, fuck it. Buddy,
good
list.
Luck with that.
Buddy, on your list?
Oh, okay. I will run through it. I've got four or five things, but they should go quick.
Oddly, I have a list as well. So,
it is mid-October, and I'm very excited because the war on Christmas is approaching.
Yay!
I'm big on the war on Christmas.
I am, too.
And along the same lines, you kind of touched on it, how you guys were already into your Christmas music.
Christmas
songs. I held out. I'm still holding out.
But here's the thing. Please, people, stop complaining about Christmas. Stop complaining that it's too commercial. Stop complaining that the stores put the stuff out too early. The stores do that for a reason.
And it's been going on since I remembered this bitch in 1972.
The stores wouldn't do it if people didn't buy
it.
But look, Christmas is for you, for however you want. Don't worry about how everyone else perceives Christmas. Just enjoy it. If you don't like the displays at the store, walk past it. You don't have to have a grand mal seizure about it.
The lady two doors down leaves the nativity out, the lit up nativity, till sometime in March.
It's a nice thing.
That's because you live on the west side.
Do I bitch about it? No, I don't care.
West side.
She also sells burritos from her porch.
Jesus has been in a nuclear disaster.
Now, I gave the new normal one more chance last week. I still didn't laugh. And I want to know, and this is odd for me because I am not one, I don't get offended at anything. I mean, I'm the person who called myself a faggot on my Facebook today. But I was kind of like last week's episode. Should I be offended at the mockery they're making of marriage? I mean, here we are complaining about I don't know. I'm like, am I being too sensitive?
I'm not finding it as funny as I am interested in how political they're willing to go. Like,
what was the point of that episode? Because
it was the mockery of a wedding. And they really were like saying, it was kind of from the other point of view. They're taking these. They're kind of making Ellen Barkin more sympathetic by taking, like, shoving everything to the other side. The liberal posers that they don't have, that they only have white friends. Like, they're taking all those sides. Like, they're
but
really
this,
kind
I think,
of
went a little to the extreme, because they were had this pretend marriage for 2, 8, 9, 10 year olds, and the whole show they're all like, no, it's just for fun. We're going to pretend that these two are committed for life, but it's just a joke.
But I think they're saying that that's what gay weddings are now.
Yeah,
like, they're kind of making
that
point.
Is that what
point.
They were saying?
I think so.
I don't think I saw that. Actually, I don't think I've seen that one quite yet.
They married the two little kids off. But I think that was the point, that until you make it legal, we're just all playing pretend.
Took it differently.
But they put it on such a – they keep showing you that show – they keep taking her angle and showing you her view. That's what I said.
I took
it's
it completely
more
different.
Ellen Barkin's view. Yeah, it's more it, interesting than it is funny so far.
I took it completely differently. I took it as Ryan Murphy's horrible approach to the subject and pointing out, oh, look, you're right. We make a mockery of marriage because we're...
But especially in California, that's all it is a mockery, because it's not legal.
It's not legal.
Yeah. So the if they
I
got
say
married,
don't be offended.
Yeah.
No, you're far more offensive than that
was.
Show.
I know. I don't want it to be more offensive than me. I'm looking out for my territory. Okay.
Put a ring on it.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Yes.
Named Golden Globes host, which will get me to watch it again, because the Golden Globes are stupid. A bunch of sycophants giving out awards.
But they're live now, so I'm hooked again. God damn it.
But anyway, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, could there be any, for
love,
me at
perfect.
Least,
love,
any
love.
More perfect hosts?
Perfect choices.
We kind of mentioned the guy who jumped out of the plane and broke the seat of speed of sound.
Right.
Once
so
again,
terrifying.
His name is Felix Baumgartner. MSNBC reported he traveled faster than the speed of light. Not quite.
No,
MSNBC.
No.
Sorry.
Because we can still see him.
But, and they almost caught him dying live on TV because he went into a tumble.
Right.
What?
Yeah. But he landed on his feet.
Yeah, he landed on his feet. But it was cool, because when they got to the one part, they were all trying to like quietly be like, that's how you die.
Right.
Oh.
All right. I have one more thing. This is kind of funny. This is CareerBuilder.com took a poll, I think.
A poll.
Yeah.
We haven't said
and they have a they put out a list of excuses that people have used when calling in sick.
Oh.
Like real excuses.
What will you be using tomorrow?
Here's a few of them. Employees sobriety tool wouldn't allow the car to start. Well, how are you going to get to work if that's the case? Employee forgot he had been hired for the job. employee said her dog was having a nervous breakdown.
Well.
Oh, I love this one.
Chihuahua, apparently.
Employee's dead grandmother was being exhumed for a police investigation.
Oh!
That one, you can't make that shit up.
That's
you
a good
can.
One.
Wow.
Employee was upset after watching the Hunger Games. Weren't we all?
Never saw it, but it's
employee
funny.
Employee got sick from reading too much. Employee was suffering from a broken heart. And employee's hair turned orange from dyeing her hair at home.
Oh, wow. I can't come into work.
One more thing. Scott Fujita, who's one of the NFL players who's been a longtime advocate for same-sex marriage, one of the first from several years ago. He's also involved in the bounty scandal. But he has a potential career-ending neck injury. So that was what I was mentioning earlier when I was like, something sad about that. So sorry, Scott Fujita. He's kind of a hottie.
Okay. Wow. You rapid-fired through that.
Did.
Very good. On my list, a couple of things. 1 in 10 rummage sale coming up on November 3rd. If you've got stuff to donate, you can. The funny story with this is Andre, buddy, you'll remember. Andre, he used to work at Winx with me.
Oh, yeah.
Andre got a promotion with the Z Gallery. He's getting his own store. He's moving to Virginia.
Wow.
So he cleaned out his house. They packed it up, and he called me asking if I knew of anywhere to donate. This is the funny thing in my week. I fill my truck with all the shit from his carport, thinking I'm just going to drive right to the 1 in 10 and donate.
Oh, gosh, I love this already.
Conveniently, they're out of town. So Al comes over to my house today, and he's like, are you moving?
I was like, Jesus.
My entire carport is filled with shit.
So his furniture.
So for them. So if you have anything to donate, contact 1 in 10. They have a rummage sale on November 3rd to raise money, obviously, for their charity. Early voting. I dropped my ballot off today in the mailbox. Early voting is done and in the bag. I don't know if you've... Do you all early vote or no?
I do.
I'm doing it in person this year. The early voting didn't go well last time.
Got it.
I'm going to do a provisional ballot.
Danger. Yeah.
I know that Marnie is very big on she goes and she has to be there the day of, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, time for
I
this
used
shit.
To be very staunch about that myself.
Yeah.
I finally crossed over to
no,
the dark side.
I
did too, but now voting in my undies...
Yeah, exactly. I'm all about that. So I did that. The other thing I want to touch base on very, very briefly, it's kind of a housekeeping thing. You all may have noticed, for both of you who are listening, and those of us around the table, we did an image change. We used to be Q-Talk Arizona. Now we're Q-Talk America. We've changed over all of that. Look forward in the next couple of months. Some image changing coming to the Sounders and everything you're going to be hearing on this. We're adding other programming that is national. Also, for us specifically in this show and The Agenda, which is the political show that's on our network, we have now launched a national ad campaign on Facebook for us. So the likes are going through the roof on our show for a lot of people who are getting us. So we're promoting Q-Talk America very heavily right now on Facebook and getting other people to pay attention, hear us, see us, and know that we're out there and realize that we have other programming that's coming that's not just based out of Phoenix. We have programming coming out of New York, L.A., and other places.
Mm-hmm. And the Queen City.
And the Queen City, apparently.
Two snaps.
Which makes me also realize that I now understand what the Queen City DJs mean, because they're actually obviously from Buffalo. I didn't realize that. At this time, it's another segment that we like to call Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Alrighty. Alfred?
Well, I... Here's what... I don't think we've ever... Yes, we have. All right. We got to come up with something.
way to be prepared.
Can I have an Oreo?
I usually am inspired at some point, but...
Uh-oh.
My question about the...
There's only two left.
I'm going to have a gluten reaction. I ate two.
What?
I'm going to blow now up is, like is, a bull, like is the Goodyear blimp.
Is the gluten reaction satisfied?
Is that the question?
Exactly. All right, just for stupid fun, what is the dumbest diet you've ever done?
Oh, come on.
What?
She better go first because she's got a lot to choose from.
I've done all of them.
And I don't know if I've ever really dieted.
I think that...
what's the dumbest diet? If you haven't done one, like, what's the stupidest one you've been forced to endure another person doing?
I've done almost everyone. I think I said I've done like weird veganism, which I don't really.
No,
actually
I mean
care
like
about.
A diet, like a lose weight thing. Like
I did that to lose weight.
Because last week you said you're a joiner. You do everything.
Oh
right?
Yes,
you
I've
get
done
on board,
the zone.
Everything.
I've done. I did Atkins. I've done.
But which one is like
only?
Truly bizarre?
Okay. I did one where I drank something called like fancy juice. And
fancy
I think it was
that sounds like something, semen. That sounds like something Michael Jackson gave to his young friend.
Wow.
Fancy juice.
It honestly was. Where like all I did because all I did was eat bananas, cabbage, and then I drank this like fancy juice, which was water with lemon juice. And like cayenne pepper.
Oh, and maple syrup. And,
so no, it didn't have the maple. It wasn't that one. It was like my own weird special. I think Kelly made it up. And it was our
just to see how big of a joiner you were.
I know it tastes like antifreeze, but it's not.
It wasn't fancy. It was sassy water. That was
sassy
what it was.
Sassy water.
Lime and lemon and cayenne, and we ate cabbage I would go to work every day and I would like microwave my meals
cabbage.
And people hated me
because once you eat cabbage you know your fart stink. You know you can never do a
one-cheek
sneak.
Oh, and guess how much weight I lost?
None.
A pound.
Plus like 2 pounds. So good for that.
Because
I was like
charming.
Secretly hoarding like beers and Oreos. It was bad.
So you were failing. Never mind. That doesn't even count.
I failed.
You failed totally.
Big time. Major fail.
Okay. Buddy.
I will tell two brief nutritionally related stories because the earliest are not a dieting people. So I don't really have a diet story to tell.
You're from the Appalachian.
But I will tell two stories I dated a guy who was lactose intolerant, and I
that,
don't
that's
know.
That's a deal breaker, right there.
I don't
so
know.
Sad.
I know for me
I
of all
I
people,
sweat milk.
Right. I don't know if I did it on purpose, subconsciously, or I just wasn't thinking. But I was. We were always going out, and I would always order like, "Oh, we'll have a plate of nachos to start," and he wouldn't say anything, and he'd come there's all this cheese, and he'd be like, "I can't." I'm like, "Oh well, too bad," you know. So I have this huge plate of nachos. I dated another guy.
All of a sudden, the single story. Makes
what,
more
I,
sense.
What I'm getting out of this so far is that so far, Buddy's dated two people.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I dated another guy, and
good.
I actually lived with him for a brief while.
Wow.
And
cardboard
house.
Serious.
He was all. We lived in a canoe. And all
with
I
one
had,
pole to keep it
one
afloat.
Pole, yes. And all I have to show for it for, is a spoon. So
paddle.
He was always cooking these. I mean, he was a really good cook. These elaborate meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, you name it. I was like, oh my God, he's such a great cook. But it's a lot of butter and, I mean, just fattening foods, whatever.
Live with Honey Boo Boo?
Eventually, I saw a photo of his ex-boyfriend that he still kept because they were still in touch. But the boyfriend lived like way back east.
Buick?
And the guy was about 400 pounds. I'm like, this motherfucker is trying to fatten
no.
me up.
Oh, how
and
funny.
I was along for the ride because it was some good fucking food. But eventually, I like, yeah. I rebuke you, fatty foods. I had to.
Call me when we get you chicken and waffles.
I was stunned.
I swear.
And I'm not going to say it was because he was black that he liked big fat guys, but he was. And I wasn't a big fat guy yet, but he was trying to get me there. You know, like black guys
do
like
you,
a little.
Do you stop it. You do, still aren't.
Do you keep in touch?
No. No. He what?
You look gorgeous.
Okay.
We had to get two kids to put his arm around him to do the Heimlich maneuver.
Get you, Katie's gonna videotape me with her panoramic camera.
I know. It's true.
I'll be posting that video. Next
check for Facebook intent.
Those are my two nutritionally related stories. And now I sometimes think, should I? Because I do try to watch what I eat sometimes, and I get a lot of exercise in terms of I do a lot of walking.
You walk through neighborhoods and stalk people, I know.
And I'm pretty responsible about what I eat. And then sometimes I just want to be like, why don't I just fucking go date a chubby chaser? You know, but I, you know, it'd be
where
easier
where do they
on
hang
me.
Out? Because I'm Willa.
I know.
You want to find one.
Bunkhouse is where they hang out.
Well, it's at the end
it
of my
close
street.
To your house, right.
Christ, in a car.
Close to your street,
or, I'm sorry, in a trailer behind her bike.
Okay. Clayton Mackey?
The only diet I really ever did was the
Jack and Coke?
No. Crown and Diet.
Crown and Diet. What did I say?
Hello.
Jack and Coke.
Hello.
Jack is like drinking isopropyl alcohol.
God,
it's horrible.
It's the same thing.
We're not sponsored by Jack Daniels. or Crown, for that matter.
Right.
The only thing that I ever did in the late, actually very early 90s, I got on board for the Atkins diet, and I did it for probably 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
And that's back.
That's a long time.
That's a long fucking time.
Right, but I was doing what I never sit down. So I had a lawn service back home in Missouri, and my friend Duke and I did lawns.
Right.
So we were going nonstop, busy, busy, busy. I did the Atkins diet, so I would mow lawns and work all day physically, do the Atkins diet, and then in the evenings I went with my friend Cheryl. We went to the gym, and we would Stairmaster for an hour.
Oh my God.
We'd Stairmaster for an hour, then we would play racquetball for 2 hours. I was...
What did you look like?
I was... Oh, about 70 pounds less than I am now.
You are crazy.
When I moved to Phoenix, I weighed 175 pounds. And right now I'm at 240.
Oh my God, now we're going to give our weights
on the air.
No.
What the hell kind of box did I open?
No. It's a requirement. I'm just saying that I still look good.
You look fucking awesome.
But I was... What is that? I don't know how to do math. So 240 minus 175. However much,
several.
A lot. Yeah, 40, several. 26. So I was like, I was 65 pounds lighter when I moved here in 1993. Of course, I was also 24. Now I'm 43. Very big difference. But so the only diet that I really, really went on was Atkins. And it worked for me. And I just felt woefully off it because corn dogs aren't on it.
No. Katie, we're going to need you to add up all of our weights and see how many of us can fit in that canoe.
Or my trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not many.
Okay. Why do I feel Al's going to say the Scarsdale diet?
No, the grapefruit. Do you guys remember the grapefruit?
Oh. Yes.
Okay, and somebody swore to me you would lose. And I think grapefruits are just the most disgusting thing you could ever put in your mouth.
Even with vodka.
No, I love them.
That's worse.
That's when they kill good vodka.
And I have grapefruit flavored vodka in my cabinet at home right now.
And then I had a lava. And we used to use grapefruit scented lotion. So that just made it worse.
Wait. Lotion was last week's word.
It was on sale. Yes. So we would lotion the pole. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying. With grapefruit.
Woo! So even though, not only was I on this stupid diet, but I was starving because I hate grapefruit. So the one thing that you're allowed to eat, I absolutely found repulsive. But it was just stupid.
Did you like
that's
the pole?
That's a bad diet.
The pole was good.
The pole was worth all the grapefruit.
I really thought I would have better memories of the grapefruit when I had it in my mouth, but no.
No, not so much.
Danger.
Okay, wait. So Harrison has a friend.
That's good to know that Harrison has a friend.
Who does... Liz.
Lemon.
Harrison,
lemon.
Is that your old roommate? Now I can't think. Friend, sugar, gluten, and dairy free. Going out to eat with her is a major chore. You just don't go out to eat with that person. Although Harrison went went to dinner with a guy that I had been dating, and they went to dinner because he lived in San Diego, and the guy told her he was currently fasting, so she ordered dinner and ate alone. I hope she remembers that story. Oh. And I'm like, what a fucking retard.
What is she supposed to do?
That's horrible.
What is she supposed to do?
Isn't that hysterical?
Al's gotta eat.
That's a horrible, horrible
That's
date.
That's funny. I love these candy corns that were left over from the eating show.
So going on a diet that allowed one food that I wouldn't eat. So I just looked around the room until dinner time was over.
Can I have a vodka? It's all I had. Yeah, vodka.
Oh my God.
No, he's sober. I'm the drunk one. I just wanted to get that in there.
Exactly.
Why this week?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm still with him.
Yes, I'm sure you are.
Look at that, with 30 seconds to spare. Sorry, I thought a question would come to me, and it didn't.
We enjoyed
that.
So
that's what
one.
We got.
That's
fine.
It was good.
But I figure as we eat really shitty cookies.
I know.
Listen, I love them.
I'm going to have another one because they absorb the Crown Royal very well.
Yes.
Because they're like a goddamn sponge. They're so dry and shitty.
No wheat.
Just like the Today sponge.
No flavor, no wheat.
Is it sponge worthy?
That's a good one. I love that. All right. It's the show with Clayton McKee, Al Perkins, Buddy Early, and Katie June for this week. Katie, yay. We're going to miss you.
I know.
I decided you're going to be the official fill-in for Marnie.
I hope
that
works
out. I might be gone permanently in a few weeks.
Stop it.
It may be.
No, stop it.
We may have all three genders, you and Marnie and Al and me.
Whoa. I don't even know who that's a slam against.
Don't worry. I don't either, but it was kind of funny.
Hour three coming at you. We'll see you next week right here on the show.
McKee on Q Talk Arizona.